Dragon's Dogma 2, the highly anticipated successor to the cult classic Dragon's Dogma, is out now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X and S, and Steam. Dragon's Dogma 2 is a third-person action RPG boasting a richly detailed and deeply explorable fantasy world created using Capcom's RE engines, immersive graphics, groundbreaking character AI systems, and cutting-edge graphics. Dive into the vast and dynamic world where the Arisen is called upon to fulfill a forgotten destiny across the nations of Vermund, the Kingdom of Humanity, and Batal, the nation of Beastrin. Dragon's Dogma 2 revolves entirely around choice. Your choice, that is. From the sword and shield wielding fighter to the illusion conjuring trickster, there are over 10 unique vocations to choose from that all require experience to unlock new skills. And character customization is out of this world. Literally. Oh, and did I mention that the combat is really in-depth? It isn't just hacking at a giant's ankle for half an hour while you dodge roll attacks. You can engage enemies from a distance, climb up large foes, stab them in their weak points, use the terrain and trick, trip, or throw foes off high cliffs and raging waters. So visit DragonsDogma.com to buy the game and start your epic quest today. That's DragonsDogma.com to learn more.
This episode of the Rooster Teeth Podcast is brought to you by the Starz Network hit series Spartacus. The final season of Spartacus premieres Friday, January 25th at 9 p.m. Eastern, exclusively on Starz. Catch up on previous seasons with Starz On Demand, iTunes, or DVD. And don't miss the red carpet premiere on Machinima. This episode of the Rooster Teeth Podcast is also brought to you by Gamefly. Gamefly is the largest online video game rental service, offering you a choice from over 8,000 titles across all consoles and handhelds. Gamefly members can rent 1 to 4 games at a time and keep them for as long as they like. For our listeners, Gamefly is offering a free 15-day, 2-disc trial. Just go to gamefly.com/rtpodcast to sign up today. That's gamefly.com/rtpodcast.
Can you guys shut up for 30 fucking seconds while I read the ad?
No.
I gotta pay the bills.
I just had the best setup ever. I was going on Facebook and showing Gavin like pictures of hot girls like that a bit, and he'd go, and he'd look, and then I'd go look at another one, I go here, and he'd go, and then I got this horrible like shock image. And he goes, and I thought it was
the thing is, I was looking at it trying to figure out what it was.
Nah.
I'll change the title for the. Oh, let me change the title from. It was the one Reddit link I have never ever clicked.
Oh, I think I know what you're talking about then.
What was it?
Space Dicks.
No.
Oh no, it's not.
No, it was.
Oh, a specific one. I thought he meant a subreddit.
Oh my.
No.
Is that okay, Gavin? What is that? Oh, what's that? It's a guy. So, it's no.
I was.
I moved the trash can closer to Gavin. So when he starts throwing.
Oh yeah.
Gavin threw up while we were recording something the other day.
Before we get to that.
Oh, yeah, we should probably mention what's going on.
So, yeah. About 30 minutes ago.
Gavin's crawling around, Brandon's crawling around on the floor and his phone just went off.
About 30 minutes before we were supposed to go live with the podcast, we lost all power at the studio in the normal building. So it was a mad rush to bring all of our equipment over here and set up in this rudimentary fashion to make sure we still launched on time. So it was. We've had a very hectic past 30 minutes.
This is the first live podcast we've done in like a month.
Right? I know. I was happy that we were going back to live. I was really excited about it. We made some changes. We rewired almost everything in the studio.
Yeah.
And just the whole building lost power today.
The funny thing is that usually, because we record so late in the day and we've all done full days of work, usually I'm like needing to drink a Red Bull or something. But, I've got one here. But all the power went out and everyone freaks out. They're like hauling ass, like dragging them. I don't need a Red Bull now. I'm wired.
What also happened was the power went out and there were no lights at all in the studio.
Yeah. Oh, it's dark. I took a photo of it. I posted it on Twitter.
It was
beforehand.
Just a black screen.
Yeah, I think you see like two lights from like the inner studio.
Yeah.
And we wanted this podcast to be like a cool thing where we're all wearing bow ties and stuff. And the power goes, I was like, it's kind of like after the fact. Yeah, it doesn't really matter.
Mine's all fucked up. Like, I've been lifting shit and, like, running around. And
I brought a shirt, especially.
Your shirt's really nice.
Yeah, thanks.
I like it.
So, the image that I showed Gavin was, I found this one day while browsing Reddit, and I'm just going to read you, like, headlines.
Okay.
You can guess when I get to it or not. It's Dads of Reddit, here's a quick way to make a ponytail for your daughter.
That's a funny one.
Yeah. I am Arnold. Oh, Arnold Schwarzenegger, did ask me anything?
Yeah, he did.
Carbon planets turns Earth chemistry on its head.
Sometimes when I play Hitman, Guy stores his own shit in condoms for snacks.
I know the link you're talking about. I never clicked that.
I read that.
Wow.
And I
wait, for snacks? Is that what you said? God. For snacks?
Just reading the headline, I was like, I stopped.
The thing is, I almost knowing the title after saying the picture.
The thing is, he told me this yesterday. He was like, I'm never going to click that. That's ridiculous. And then he showed me this picture. He's been showing me a bunch of pictures. I was like, what's this
I was looking at it, too, because I thought it was a little weird. And then,
God, what is wrong with the world, Gus?
That's absolutely disgusting. That's amazing. So, are the snacks good?
Let's see. I don't know. Oh. I don't know. I'm kidding.
He's already had it.
So,
he's just eating it
my
again.
My nose is running.
My eyes and my nose are watering.
Your glasses are fogging up.
I can't take it.
Too much stress. Oh, God, I'm burning slobbering. Oh.
I gotta go.
Oh, all right. And okay. we are down one, and Gavin's about to go. Look at his eyes are watering up.
I have a tissue.
We made Gavin throw up while we were recording a Let's Play the other day. Michael and I are tagged.
Oh, God.
Do you know how bad Gavin hates wet bread? Something Jesus about like Christ. The soggy bread with this water all over it just makes Gavin want to.
Let's not make him throw up.
Let's make him throw up. So how you doing, Gus?
I had something. This was probably a good segue. I had something kind of gross happen to me earlier.
Oh yeah. I want to hear about this.
So and then this is Brandon's fault, who we can't cut to this week.
Oh no.
You'll find out in a second. So over the weekend, like I woke up one morning and my left ear kind of hurt.
Oh,
and
no.
I thought, oh, do I have an ear infection?
Yeah.
So I went to the doctor today, and I told him, doctor, you know, this ear kind of hurts. I'm not sure what's wrong with it. Can you take a look at it?
I think I know where this is going.
And he goes, okay. So he pulls out, like, his little ear-looking thing, and he's like, look in your healthy ear first. He looks in this ear. He's like, okay, everything's fine. Then he looks in this ear, and he's like, whoa. And I'm like, I say, what? He goes, there's just some buildup in there. It's just kind of impacted.
So this is the ear from your ear thing?
Well,
podcast.
Yes. So he's like, it's just, there's some stuff in there. It's kind of impacted. We're just going to go ahead and I'm going to try to grab it. So he has like this little tool to try to pull it out.
Is this thing like Total Recall that goes up Arnold Schwarzenegger's nose?
It's like a long stick with like a little loop at the end. It looks like a little lasso. Oh. So he's like digging around. He's like, oh man, it's really in there. He's like, hold on, let me call the nurse. So he gets the nurse to come in.
You got little fingers?
So the nurse comes in, and she's got, like, this spray bottle with, like, a little needle attachment at the end of it. And I guess it, like, shoots a pressurized stream of liquid.
Yeah.
So she's like, all right, well, I'm going to just go ahead and shoot this in your ear, and we'll dislodge it and get it out like that. So I'm like, fine. So I'm, like, there at the doctor's office, and she starts, like, squirting it. She's like, man, that is not coming out. I'm like, what? She goes,
so at
she's
this like, point, there's liquid blasting.
Yeah, she's, like, blasting liquid, high-pressure liquid. Yeah.
It's super loud, right?
Yeah. And it's just not coming out. And she's like, huh. Okay, well, we've got this solution that dissolves buildups like this.
Yeah.
So we're just going to pour it in your ear, wait 5 to 7 minutes, it'll dissolve it, and we'll be able to blast it out with the water. Like, fine. They put the drops in. She's like, all right, wait here 5 to 7 minutes, I'm going to come back. She puts the drops in, leaves, I'm waiting there. She comes back in, she's like, all right, here we go. So she like, gets the blaster thing again. She starts blasting it. She's like, it is not coming out.
Oh, my God.
She's like, hold on, let me get the alligator clips. I don't know what the fuck. That's all she says as she walks out.
Let me get the jaws of life real quick.
I like that they have, like, four tools that they have to go through.
So, escalate. It's like tech support.
Yeah.
Get on to the next level.
Yeah. So then she comes back in. She's like, well, we have this machine that we use in situations like this. I'm like, what? She goes, it's just going to suck it right out of your ear. I'm like, what? She goes, hold on, don't worry, I'll be right back. So she leaves, and then her and the doctor come back in, and they're, like, carting this machine in.
And it's got
a really long needle, like, this long. And, like, at the tip of it, it's, like, a tiny hole, and I guess just a vacuum on the end with, like, a tiny point of suction.
So they shoved a 6-inch-long needle in your ear.
Right. So the doctor looks in there again. He tries to scrape it out with the first tool. He's like, man, that is not coming out. So then he gets the suction thing, and he starts, like, jabbing around in there, and it kind of hurts. I'm not going to lie. And he's, like, he's poking, it's not coming out. He goes, you know, we might have to give you like a week's worth of that dissolving solution. And you might have to do it every day and then come back. I'm like, what? And then finally he's like, oh, okay, there, I got it. And all of a sudden I could like hear. Like,
it was like the ocean.
It was like a superpower. I could hear everything. And then it started. It was the most disgusting noise coming out. It was like,
oh, good Lord.
And I was like, oh. And it was like, and it was, it seemed to go forever. And then he pulled it out. He's like, nurse, nurse, nurse. And then he's just like, eating paper towels like crazy. Oh, and then he like gets it in his hand.
Oh, God. And, tell me he had a glove on it.
He like, as he's pulling it away from me, I catch a glimpse of it. And I'm like, hold on, hold on, hold on. Let me take a picture of that.
Oh, no.
No!
Whoa!
Holy crap!
That's no.
That'll be in the list.
No, Brandon's going.
No.
Was there a mouse in your ear? What the hell was that?
Why did I look at it closer?
Half the room is exploded and it's starting to throw up.
I think that.
I got it.
Like 3 months of live podcast wearing that earpiece.
I wore that. Oh God! I wore that earpiece when you were on vacation.
Yeah, it's true. That's true.
Jesus Christ,
Gavin! If you throw
Gavin, look how red Gavin's face is.
He wore the earpiece. So
did you see those brown Gavin? It was like wet and brown.
No, you didn't stop.
Obviously. This will be in the link dome if you want to see it for some god awful reason.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
Gotta mute my mic.
It'll be on Reddit as well.
So after they pulled it out and I took a picture, I realized like he's like the doctor's like kind of freaked out. I'm taking a picture. I'm like, was that a weird request for me to take a picture of it? And he goes, no, surprisingly, when I pull stuff out of people, they always want to take a picture of it.
God, you want to take a picture of everything now. It's unbelievable.
Well, I figured this was a great podcast story. Oh, it's like a direct effect of Brandon.
That's unbelievable.
The earpiece. And, like, I guess for a while I hadn't realized it, but I couldn't hear so well out of my left side. Yeah. Now I understand.
Yeah,
why.
You don't realize how, like, how fucked up how it is in the until, like, it's clear.
How did we win a fucking award?
It's over there.
Yeah. The podcast award back here.
Best gaming podcast.
Hey. Thank you, podcast. Welcome, new podcast listeners.
What do you think was percentage viewers. Of time that we talk about gaming on the podcast?
15%?
You think so?
Yeah.
That's pretty good. I'd say 15%.
I feel like it goes up and down. Sometimes we'll have a real gamey one.
Yeah. Real gamey, like probably what it's
look,
like.
No more, nothing else. That's it. That's kinda quota gamey. For the podcast, right?
Okay. You preempted me with your gross stuff.
Yeah. I'm really sorry. I just apparently that just primed a pump for you. Oh my God, wow. That was terrible.
Yeah, after that happened earlier, I made a tweet.
Priming any pumps of any sort.
Have you ever vomited from something just gross? Like
yeah, I did yesterday.
That happened the other day when we were recording.
We were playing Deathcraft
2,
which is Minecraft. It's Left 4 Dead skinned exactly like Minecraft, which is really fun and awesome. But with, I guess, all Steam games, you can spray.
Yeah, you can spray
an image. Every corridor I walked down was different pictures of wet, soggy bread.
Michael and I had wet bread that we were spraying on the wall, different photos of wet bread. And then I think, was it Ray had a picture of Dan as well? Yes. it was Dan. You know, his partner on Slow Mo Team, and then his wet bread everywhere.
You remember those sprays that I made for CS back in the Drunk Gamers days?
Yeah, those were awesome. They were like speech bubbles.
They were speech bubbles.
Oh, that's cool.
It said like, holy shit, I stuck in Counter-Strike. You spray it like next to dead people and take a screenshot
of
them.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like,
that's really clever.
Then you send it to them, or something. I had like,
and it's a giant cock that ends in their mouth.
No, you can't like go over the player model. So you had to put it next to them so it looked like it was part of the thing of them talking.
That's pretty clever.
Yeah, and or thought bubbles. Yeah. Like, I wish I was playing.
There was one moment where I was downed. And like, obviously, when you're on the floor, you can just sit there and spray and bread. I can't see anything.
Yeah, not getting him back up, just letting him sit there with wet
spraying it onto your eyelids.
Yeah, I'm just lying on bread.
How did you? We had a short that we shot. It was the only other short that you were in, which was the clone one, right?
I was in like five.
Were you really? Were you besides? Well, that was the main one. You were was the clone one.
Wait, Captain Dynamic.
He was a Captain Dynamic. Yeah.
Yeah, did one with Jeff.
Mixed messages.
Mm-hmm. But the how did you suffer through that, the watching me eat soggy bread that entire time?
Well, because you had to take a bite of sandwich. I think it was on the outtakes as well. And then you had to deliver a line with the sandwich still in your mouth.
Yeah.
But obviously, you know, we did several takes, right? Uh-huh. So you're just like, keeping this soggy bit of sandwich in there. It was really getting wet.
It was nasty.
And you were gagging, I was gagging.
But the bread itself was all wet, too, because it was from
the
cooler
your mouth.
Next door.
It was from the...
Yeah, so the coffee shop.
The worst for me was the short we did with the interdimensional sandwich.
Oh yeah. Food war.
Yeah, like we had bought the sandwich early in the morning, and then we didn't shoot the scene where I had to take a bite of it till like late afternoon, and it had been sitting out all day, and it was just like rancid and nasty. Yeah.
Food props are the worst, man. Yeah. They're the absolute worst. Anytime we have food on a set, it's just a nightmare. just gets like hard or nah. It's like it goes to liquid or goes to solid. Like that's it. There's nothing in between.
There's no gas phase for food. Food.
There's no food phase. The food phase is like gone immediately. God, it's awful.
So, like you mentioned, we won a podcast award for gaming. It's over there.
Can you grab it?
And we won that award, and then the next week we just finished reclassifying the podcast to comedy.
Hey, what? I didn't even know that was going to happen. When did that happen?
Last week, after we released the last podcast.
So what was the reasoning behind doing that?
We
won gaming.
We talked. Yeah, we won. Yeah.
We got to move on.
Time to conquer.
We're on the leaderboard.
We prestiged. We start again now.
Yeah.
Well, actually, iTunes did a thing where they named the best podcast of the year, and they completely left out our entire category.
Yeah. That was actually the reason I
was that really
to
was it?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Because, like, comedy was the top one, and there was, like, one or two others. Yeah. And, like, there was no gaming, no hobbying. No
Even though it is a subcategory.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
It's completely left it out.
They said, fuck it. We're not doing it. Yeah.
So, yeah. We're funny. We're a comedy podcast. So I figured, why not? Let's just change it.
Yeah. There is an anti-gaming bias on the internet. Like, it's like the internet wanting to forget what its roots are. Like, that gamers were some of the original people online. Mm-hmm. But now as the internet's become more mainstream, there really is this like subversion of gaming culture on stuff like iTunes and even YouTube.
Gaming and porn.
Gaming and porn.
We fucking laid the foundation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone's anti-porn at this point, though.
So did the other awards we went to, which is a silver one behind Gavin and Jordan there, we went out for the IAW TV awards, and we won two awards for Red versus Blue. Now... That's during CES. Don't they always have the porn awards during CES?
No, they did. I think the last year was the first year. There were separate weekends.
Oh. Because
they used to be where CES and AVN, or I think this.
AVN.
Era AAA, or I forget what. Or AVN. No, it's
he's AE, telling you. AE,
I thought it was AEE.
It's the AVN Awards.
AVN. The AVN Awards, but I think it's the AEE. It's the Adult Entertainment Expo.
Oh, okay.
It's the actual event. I went there once.
The AVN Awards.
Yes.
But the AVN Awards are like the award show they have that you hear about every year.
You went to that expo?
Yeah, I went when I was writing for Any Cool News. I went to go cover CES one year, and I was like, on a whim, I was like, yeah, I'll send my credentials over to the AEE, and they were like, yeah, no problem, come on over. I was like, okay.
Why does that surprise you?
It was
like their vetting process wasn't up to snuff.
But I went over there and I walked the floor one time. I never saw more guys in football jerseys in one spot than anywhere else on the planet. It was like the weirdest thing. It was mainly just lines of people lined up to get a photo and an autograph of a porn star, and that was it.
You're one of those dudes.
I wasn't in line. I was walking around.
He wasn't
wearing
a football jersey.
I was covering it. I wrote an article about it.
See, this is a discussion we had the other day. So, I forget. Like, what was it? 30 podcasts ago, we were talking about foods that don't spoil. We said, and people.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Then people told me honey doesn't spoil. Mm-hmm. And then on a later podcast.
They told you at the moment, because that was the live one, wasn't it?
Because it was a live one. But then they kept telling me as they listened to the podcast for like 4 weeks that honey doesn't spoil.
All right.
And then I said, hey, fuckers on Twitter, stop telling me that honey doesn't spoil. Well, now people just send me honey doesn't expire, honey doesn't spoil all the time.
Oh,
I get it like once or twice. At least a day, maybe 4 or 5 times a day.
Oh, trust me, I know all about saying things on the podcast and them never going away.
Yeah.
Believe me.
Here's the thing: it's like all the people who send me the "Hey, Bernie, guess what? Honey doesn't expire." They all think they're doing it ironically, like that they're like, "Oh, I'm in on the joke." There's no joke. It's like it really isn't a joke. It's like once you do that, once you act like the internet idiot, you are that person.
Yeah.
You really are that person. You're not.
You're not being ironic.
Yeah,
you're just being
you're not
an
part
ass.
Of the joke.
Yeah.
You are the joke.
Yeah.
You become the punchline.
But this isn't going to help at all, anyway.
No, I know, but I don't care.
It's like got to that level now. It's just like,
I mean, at this point.
Because I went to dinner with you yesterday. You showed me three from like that meal
in that hour. Yeah. That people were saying it was like it's just unbelievable. Like, people keep up with that joke.
Yeah,
of course. I mentioned on the podcast
that joke.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's like if like. You know, you contribute on something like that, like Ray had a great point. Ray said he started saying YOLO to make fun of YOLO, but now he can't stop saying YOLO.
No, he says it.
Yeah. And now he's one of those people.
He's lived long enough to become everything he hates.
Pretty much, yeah. It's not like, I mean, you gotta think about the people who actually say YOLO. They're just like, fuck it, I'm doing whatever I want, YOLO.
Yeah.
That's how it started.
Yeah.
They weren't like sitting around philosophically buying into, wow, my existence is a singular existence and I have to live to the highest level possible.
Yeah.
No, they're just idiots like Ray going, YOLO, that's it. That's all it is. He is the guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what happens every time you try and make fun of something, though. It ends up becoming a thing that you do genuinely.
You either, die the hero or you live long enough to see yourself become the
like
villain.
Like how Dan and I call each other B and stuff like that, and that's just really irritating. My dad did this thing where he would make fun of this woman who, whenever she would hang up the phone, she would go, all right, bye, bye, bye. And like I say, bye all the way down to the phone. And then he started doing that. He's been doing that for about 20 years. He says bye, 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 bye.
Yeah.
But anyway, so you guys did not go to the Adult Entertainment Expo while you were at CES.
You clarified. Well, the question I was going to ask is you clarified in your explanation, which is people kept saying a different name than AVN, and I said, did they change? Like the WWF changed to WWE, and now it's AVN something else.
No, I mean when I went to it, it was AEE, and I don't know how long it was before that, but. But it's funny, like, one of the funniest things I saw at CES that year was there was literally one hall that was, like, the whole adult, like, expo was in one room, and then, like, next to it was another part of CES. CES is enormous, if you've never been to it. But it was literally, like, 50 feet. It was one door was the porn area, and the other door was the electronics area. And that sort of, like, that foyer area, like, right there.
The what area?
The foyer.
Foyer. Wow, that's correct. He's
wearing a bow tie.
But that area there was like just, it was nothing but nerds and like porn stars. It was like the weirdest, most awkward thing ever. And then you had people from strip clubs trying to convince the nerds to go to the strip club later that night. So you get the hot girls with like the cards and stuff.
So is there anything actually adult at those things, or is it just you meet the porn stars? There's not like live sex shows or anything.
No, nothing like that.
What are you talking about? You said that was the place where I saw the largest print of a vagina that I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah, I guess there's photos of things, but there's nothing like live there on like nothing actually happening.
live pictures.
Nothing like that. So.
No, but a lot of times the women are nude in the booth sometimes.
Not typically, actually. At least when I went, there weren't. So.
Yeah, okay.
I've seen plenty of posts on Reddit.
Yeah.
They sometimes wear, like, the stickers.
The pasties.
Just strategically placed.
So, anyway, it's definitely an experience. It was like, wow, this is really weird. And I was like,
Did you spend any time at CES?
No. I just went in for the Podcast Awards and came back.
Did you see the thing that, like, Microsoft debuted, which apparently stole the show?
No.
What's that?
So, it's some kind of thing that takes some kind of technology, and I'm going to look it up, because all I did was, like, see some cursory stuff, because I was there, but I was, like, around the event the entire time and not actually part of it. But apparently it's like a big thing they did that the purpose of it was to take your experience beyond the surface. And an example that I kept seeing is like a room where all the devices in it are Microsoft devices, or devices that attach to this thing or sync with it. And imagine if like there's your TV and you're playing Call of Duty and the entire wall is Call of Duty.
Oh, it like scans the room.
Yeah.
And then projects it.
It projects it all over the entire wall. And that your TV is like just a sharper focus of where you're looking, but like all around you are all the buildings you're running through.
Oh, so like it projects peripheral around the TV.
Yeah, outside the TV.
Yeah,
it's like holodeck version like 0.01.
Yeah, but you're only focused on the TV, so that
so
illusion.
So it's the same resolution
it.
In the TV. So what's the resolution of the entire thing then?
I don't know, but it's like it looks projected. It's like it looks like stuff just projected on a normal wall, but it's the buildings that like you're running by as you're running forward. Yeah.
It was sounding lame up to when I understood it, and that sounds really cool.
Let me show you an image of it, and we'll put this in the link.
My brain started.
It sounded dumb until I figured it out. Then it sounded cool.
It sounded dumb until it made sense.
Yeah,
like all great things.
Yeah.
Beer. That's stupid.
Yeah. Wait, what are you talking?
I don't even know how to search for this.
Makes sense.
I'm glad that when the power went out, we were frantically bringing over. Equipment. I'm glad that someone thought to bring the beer.
Yeah. I went straight for the fridge. I was confused when I opened the fridge and the light didn't turn on. I'm just gonna feel like
he really did stop dead. He's sitting in a dark warehouse. He opens the fridge. And goes, "What's wrong with the fridge? What's
going on here?" For some reason, you always expect a light in a fridge, even when the power's off.
Like, we had lost power in the building earlier today, but then it came back on, and we're like, "Oh, that's weird." Well, I'm sure everything's fine.
So did he say it was the power coming from the street, like coming from the city?
Yeah.
Like, so it wasn't just our building. It was like the whole lot.
No, it's just that. Building.
Oh, just our section.
Yeah, just that part.
It's called Illuma Room.
That's a terrible
that
thing.
Sounds
it is terrible.
See, that's why...
That sounds like,
initially,
like in the back of boy's life or something like that. The x-ray glasses.
That's why I think of stuff being lame up until I understand it. I saw a thing
it's
of...
like something Billy Mays would advertise.
I saw a thing of a tablet
Billy Mays here.
For Illuma Room.
Cool. Illuma Room.
I saw a video of a tablet that, like, it squirts liquid under the screen and like makes little bubbly buttons come up whenever you get the keyboard on.
Oh yeah, I saw that.
People
it
changes
just,
the shape of the
people
glass.
People are just making stuff for the sake of it now. We have everything we need. Nobody needs to come up with anything else.
I agree with you.
That is dumb. I don't want to squelch on I'm typing on touchscreen is fine at this point.
Yeah, and also, you know, although I have used lately, I have used some kiosks. I used a Southwest kiosk to go out to Vegas because, once again, in Austin... When we fly, you have to like choose whatever carrier just goes direct to the city that you're going to.
Only Southwest.
And for Vegas, it's Southwest.
That's
and
a nice,
otherwise,
nice flight.
I fucking hate Southwest.
Yeah, I think
Southwest.
U.S. Airways has a flight to Vegas. As well.
Really?
I think you are correct. But their kiosk had like a tactile feedback on them when I was using it when I was typing in. And it's like it gave me like a vibration and like a punch back. Like I could feel the keys. But it was just glass.
Did it project around?
No, it didn't do that. Like, I was on some letters. And
all
did, like,
all
the
symbols
alphabet.
Were around you?
Yeah. I had previous versions of the alphabet all around me.
I hate Are You Sure messages, though. I went to an ATM. Oh, this was in, I think it was in Vegas. And I pressed English to, you know, you select your language first. It said, are you sure you want to choose English? I mean, I've only pressed one button. It's not like I can't go back. It was the dumbest confirmation message ever.
And if you can't read English, it's like, which one do I choose? Yes, and everything's still in English.
You've made a terrible mistake.
Well, the thing that I'm always dealing with now, too, whenever I, when I call in places, I have determined that Siri and voice-activated things don't understand my voice. They just can't. I can get two words out, and then that's it. It either cuts me off and goes, I don't know what the fuck you're doing. I have no clue.
Can you shut your dog up, please?
Can I talk to your owner?
What's that? Jimmy's in a well?
No, I use the voice recognition stuff for, like, texting. So, like, if you hit the little microphone button, you can talk, and it'll write it out for you. And that stuff seems to work for me.
Yeah.
So, I'm really worried every time you show me a picture.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, you've now broken Gavin.
Is that a Lumer room? So that's like a snow level.
Oh,
you're
cool.
Playing on, and it makes it snow inside your room.
It's so, like, it appears, like, snowflakes appear around the TV.
I think it's, like, an ambiance thing, but also it's, like, you know, it can also extend for where your vision is in focus.
What would be good is if it just, for every kill you got, it just stacked a corpse in the corner of your room until it's just a pile of dead
There's
bodies.
There's dead bodies all around.
Maybe so you thought we more people. You thought we had everything, but we don't.
Yeah, clearly. Yeah.
Kill count.
Hey, did I hear a rumor correct that Congress is considering a bill that penalizes video game companies for shootings or something like that?
God, that's...
I did hear it from Joel.
Yeah. And Alex Jones was screaming at the time. No, so Biden has been talking to a bunch of people about, like, they've been bringing in different groups that kind of talk about gun violence in America and stuff. And he talked to the NRA, he's talked to, like, some mental health people, and they brought in the video game industry. And so, like, I want to say the president of the ESA came in, the Electronic Software Association. And they were just kind of, like, talking about video games, sort of their impact on youth and stuff. And to me, it's just, like, even showing up to that is admitting too much. Or is, like, saying too much. Like, it's such a dumb connection to make.
You got to show up.
But they didn't bring in the movie. They didn't bring in the movie industry. Yeah. I mean, I would say the movies are just as responsible for, you know, violent images for children as video games are.
No, I agree. We're on the same fight. We're on the same page.
Okay.
I'm saying as a responsible industry, they should show up and defend themselves.
Yeah, well, I agree with that. But pulling them in makes it seem like there's guilt on that organization. Like,
but video game industry can't control whether or not Congress summons them to testify.
No. Yeah, but it just irks me.
They have to show up.
No, it just irks me the fact that we're, like, the video game industry is even being pulled into this conversation. And it's just like, and now they're actually, you know, having to make this debate that should have been dead forever ago.
Well, right? it was dead. The Supreme Court had that ruling about the California law where they...
Yeah, the Yee law or whatever that was.
Right, where they penalized game stores. Or they didn't allow game stores to sell games that were rated M, was that
Yeah,
it
was something like that. And it was... Yeah, it's...
Well, we got into this discussion at my house because we're playing Lego Lord of the Rings and we're like 100 billion hours into that fucking game to finish it. But we got into a discussion about that, about how much would you like to play a Lego Halo game? That'd be a lot of fun, right? Because you could switch to Cortana, switch those characters and everything, and switch to Arbiter. But it's like, Halo is associated with Mega Bloks, not with Lego. That's right, because Lego has that rule where I've always heard that they won't be associated with R-rated or mature content, mature for video games. And then it thought, it's weird that R is the equivalent of mature. Yeah. But even weirder, I was playing Lord of the Rings. And you're going to tell me that Lord of the Rings is less adult than Halo? I mean, what goes on in Halo that's worse than what happens in Lord of the Rings? I mean,
well,
there's like...
you get giant elites sticking swords through marines and stuff like that.
Dude,
yeah, but you got, like, in Lord of the Rings, you got, like...
Boromir's getting arrows through them.
Yeah.
You got, like, orcs running swords and lances through people.
Undead, you have ghosts.
Yeah, I watched Lord of the Rings again. I remember I thought it was just a bunch of midgets running through the woods.
You know what you should do? Did you...
I'd love to hear your
story. Where somebody gets cut open.
That's the best one-sentence description of Lord of the Rings ever. A bunch of midgets running through the woods.
And some of the woods can move and talk and all that.
A couple of midgets walking through the woods. No, that's simple walk through Mordor.
Fine receipt production.
All right, guys, how you doing? You know what you should do? Did you see The Hobbit? Everybody see The Hobbit?
Yeah.
Go back immediately and watch Fellowship.
Yeah,
I did.
Because it's crazy the amount of stuff that ties in that they tied in from Hobbit to
Fellowship.
I noticed a lot.
I gotta go see Hobbit again, like in normal, not 48 frames.
I'll go with
bullshit.
You.
So you saw it 48 frames.
I saw it in 48 frames 3D, and I didn't like it.
That's how I would want to see it. I want to see it how the director sees
it. The technical side of it was so distracting to me, it ruined the movie. Like it was, I was more like watching the guys move around so crisp and clean. It was just like it was too much.
Do you think you have bias going into it, and you let yourself be affected by that negative vibe?
I mean, honestly, like I picked up on it immediately. Like when Bilbo is running or moving through his house, it's just so crisp and so sharp. It's just like it was off-putting to me. I mean, it was like, and that's the first 10 minutes of the movie.
Here's what happened to me, Gus: is that it killed my ability to suspend disbelief.
Yeah,
I never could. During the 48 frames presentation, I could never say to myself, "I'm not watching a movie. I'm just like I'm in the story and all that stuff." I was like, I'm sitting there going, "I'm watching a movie. I'm watching a movie. I'm watching a movie."
Yeah.
You know, and I can tell you, I have a bias against 3D, and it's gone after like 2 minutes, mm-hmm. like any movie that I go see.
Yeah.
So, do you want to go see it? We should go see it at the IMAX because I want to see it in the IMAX, and the IMAX projectors are not 48 frames.
I'm in. Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. Haven't seen The Hobbit at all?
No.
Oh, really? Okay.
Okay.
Well, like in the Fellowship, they come across the trolls
through the woods.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, they do come across.
And
the
same. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah. When they're walking toward. Yeah,
yeah. When they're
walking in the Lord of the Rings movie.
Right. Sam even points out. It's like Bilbo's trolls.
Right. And like it's such a throwaway moment, but then like after you see the Hobbit,
they
come back. And that was one of the weird things they changed in the Hobbit. That's completely different resolution. Not completely, but the source of the resolution with the trolls is different than it is in the book, and I don't know why they did that.
Was it?
Yeah.
I thought...
It was Gandalf.
Was it
talking from the edges of the clearing in the book.
Distracting them.
Right? Yeah, distracting them over time. Like, Gandalf's a big hero in the the Hobbit.
Sir Ian.
Wizard!
Let me... I'm going to take a second to read this. I want to remind everyone that this episode of the podcast is brought to you by Gamefly.com. Gamefly offers over 8,000 video games. It's like Netflix for video games. They send you the disc in the mail. You can send it back whenever you're done playing. It's no late fees, no hassles with access to all new releases. Got PlayStation, Wii, Xbox, and now PC. Is this for me?
Yep.
So for our listeners, you can get a free 15-day two-disc trial if you go to the Gamefly banner or go to gamefly.com/RTpodcast. So just go, check it out for 15 days, see if you like it or not. It's a fraction of the cost of a full $60 game. And you can check out the games that Jack talks about on Awu.
Hey, Awu.
Get a new game. Check them out. So a free 15-day trial, like I said. Gamefly.com/RTpodcast.
It's good, too, for the games we talk about on the podcast, too, because we always tend to be a little bit behind.
Yeah.
We talk about.
Well, I mean, there's so many damn games. And actually, this year, more than most years, is going to be a really, really, not painful year, but it's going to be a very packed year for video games. Because a lot of games that were supposed to come out in the fall got actually pushed to the spring.
Well, it happens all the time, though.
But more so this year. I mean, like,
the only big one I can think of is Bioshock Infinite.
Bioshock Infinite, you've got Dead Space 3. And
was that initially a fall release?
Yeah, it was supposed to come out October or November or something. And then there was another one, I'll say The Last of Us or something. Maybe I forget what it was. There was another
Last
major.
Of Us never had a release date. The first release date they announced was the current one.
Maybe it was God of War. I thought there was some PS3 title that got pushed, but... But anyway,
could it be the Gears of War prequel that's coming out?
Gears of War Judgment. Revelation.
Judgment
is, yeah. But anyway, but like this year, it's like there are so many games coming out in February and March that it's just like, usually this is our slow time, and it's like, well, we're right back into it. You know, we had January. We had a few weeks in January to kind of like breathe, and now it's like, all right, good luck. But like even like 2011, we had one day where we had 5 AAA titles hit in one day. And, you know, this year, like, in 2012 was nice because at least, you know, it was one a week. Yeah. But now it's like, all right, now it's just got space.
I'm looking here at the games I'm looking forward to. So I got Bioshock Infinite, February 26th, Gears of War, March 19th.
Bioshock got pushed.
Last of Us, May 7th.
That's May.
Then everything else I'm looking at has no firm date.
The new demo for Dead Space 3 came out today.
Oh, that's right, Dead Space 3.
When's GTA 5?
That's very, very awesome.
TBA still. TBA 2013.
Soon. It'll be early, but it'll be before summer probably.
Have you guys played all the Gears of War?
Yes.
Yeah. I stopped after one, and I don't know why. It's just
that's ridiculous.
I lost track of.
It's kind of it's like a Michael Bay franchise of video games. I would say it's kind of over the top, you know, kind of dumb plot, but a lot of fun.
Transformers. One thing I like about Gears of War, which no other game seems to ever follow, is that you could show me footage of Gears of War, and I would not be able to tell you which game it was from. Like, because each game looks the same. It's just different, like, they different weapons, like different enemies, and some of them. But visually, it's the same, and I love that. It just feels like you're just moving on. through the story without any distraction at all.
It was way ahead of its time, I thought, when the first one came out. Like, it looked so good.
Yeah, and the whole reloading thing was pretty cool as well.
Yeah, I still love that mechanic. Yeah. Except after you've been drinking, it's so hard to do. I get so fucking angry, because over time, like, I can see myself getting worse and worse, where I'm like, not even, like, I'm getting penalized because I'm hitting it at the wrong time, but then I'm stubborn, and I don't want to stop trying to unbone
it. And it's one of those things where the first time you play it, you're like, you're kind of overwhelmed anyway by the game, and then you realize that there's a reload mechanism. It's like, oh, screw this. But as soon as you get good, like, which is immediately, you feel really good about it. You're like, that reload as well. Yeah. Oh, and again, it's like you
especially
get really
excited. Multiplayer, like it can be really tense.
Yeah, it really helps you out as well with the bonus damage.
I also have to say, I like a game where the default weapon is my favorite.
Yeah,
and the Lancer is to me the best weapon in that game.
Yeah. Something so rewarding about that chainsaw where you just slice into somebody.
I like the torque bow personally.
Yeah, the torque bow is badass. Yeah, that's got a great mechanic for the actual aiming of it, where it's got that like arc. And a kink. Yeah, I really like that.
Probably
a lot.
One of the meatiest sniper rifles in any video game as well. It's one ahead of.
Yeah. So something about it's weird. For some reason, I'm better at third person shooters than I am at first person shooters.
Well, you're horrible at first.
I'm terrible at first
third
person
shooters.
Shooters
aren't as twitch oriented as first person.
I guess
are.
So. Yeah. But I've always been better about that. Like Godfather 2 had a multiplayer mode, and I was really good at that. But
I really liked Godfather 2. That was kind of a panned game.
Yeah.
I drank the shit out of that game.
I liked the first Godfather.
Yeah.
Have you ever played a game and thought it was really good and then later realized that everyone hated it?
Oh, yeah.
I had that with Driver 3. I loved that game. And then I realized that it was like a huge flop and nobody liked it. But that was the first game to have a real decent theater mode. Like, you could keyframe.
Yeah, I think they call it like stuntman mode or.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was. And you could keyframe camera moves, which you haven't been able to do in any game since, I don't think.
Oh, well, Skate does that.
Oh, it does?
Yeah,
Skate. Just like, at this point, I want it here, and then when it lands here, I want the camera here.
I'm trying to think. I remember there's like games that other people got involved with, and I was like, what the hell? Like, you used to play that Rockstar table tennis all the time.
Oh, man.
I was like, I don't get it. I never got it.
Jeff and I had a huge rivalry over it. That he's the only one I played it with.
You guys would talk about it constantly.
Yeah.
That was a very. For some reason, Jeff?
Yeah, it was Jeff. It was at the old Buta office. We would do that all the time.
Yeah.
I love Rockstar.
Working on my backhand.
I love Rockstar though, because they made that game basically just to test facial animation and character animation and stuff. Like then it was like that was kind of like a whim. They were
like a tech demo that evolves into an actual. Research.
Basically, yeah.
Just make money off of it.
Yeah, I mean, all that stuff went into like Grand Theft Auto 4 and Red Dead. I mean, it's like I love to see that stuff happen.
I probably played more table tennis than I did GTA 4.
You are stumped.
Is
really,
it true?
Yeah,
you missed out on a great game.
I only played 4. Like 6 hours of GTA 4.
Wow.
Man, I gotta say.
He doesn't like the sandbox.
Yeah, GTA, I really don't like sandbox.
GTA has the most natural transition between animated dudes and then ragdoll. Like, they kind of just.
Yeah.
It's so.
I love when you're drunk and you're like.
I
it's like stumbling. Yeah. Like
I was writing for Ain't It Cool, and they sent me to New York City to go check out Grand Theft Auto 4 before it came out. And the thing that blew my mind was at one point, the guy who was controlling the game was walking around, and a taxi hit him in the leg, and he put his hand down on the hood of the taxi, like, right himself. And I was just like.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
And that's not an animation, that's just a natural thing.
Yeah. It was like so simple, but it was like, that is incredible.
I mean, a lot of games, as soon as the game wants you to be in ragdoll, they're just like, there's still like rigidness to a character in ragdoll, which is,
but
they had that in Red Dead as well. It's really good.
Yeah, but it's one of those things where it really begs for a theater mode too, or just I want to play
the PC version.
The PC version has a theater mode.
Is that an add-on or?
I think it's part of the game.
Yeah, it's part of the game. I bought the PC version, even though I had the Xbox version, just to mess around in the like camming it again.
Yeah, when I would get like just pegged and it goes black and white, by a cop car and just throws me off a bridge. I'm like, I want to see that again. Can't.
But they put it in slow motion. Move the camera around and zoom in.
But like the rumor is the next Xbox is going to have like a DVR functionality.
I've heard that. I don't know, man.
No. I think it's true.
I think maybe something like that would have been said at CES. Like, I'm hoping it has this Illumina thing.
CES isn't a big like video game announcement. Like that's too big of an announcement. I feel like for CES. They may announce.
Yeah. CES is not worthy.
They may announce like set top box functionality, but like core console functionality, they're going to say for E3.
So okay, Gus, we've talked about this before. Do you think a console is coming out this year? Like a new Xbox or PS3 or PS4?
I have no inside knowledge.
No one has
told me.
We literally have no actual knowledge of this stuff.
I think there will be. I absolutely do.
Yeah. So I don't know.
Like, I'm going to vote no.
I
think the announcement will be in November and it'll come out next year.
Do you think they would launch it? Because theoretically, if they were going to announce a console that's coming out this year, they would announce it probably at E3, right?
What did they do with the Wii U?
Wii U was a year and a half. They announced it at the E3 before the next. It was like they announced it in 2011 and then it came out fall of 2012. So that's a year and a half lead up to it. Yeah. And it's one of those things you've got to establish sort of, you know, teach your audience. You've got to let them know that this is coming. And,
you know what I think the best indication is?
What's that?
Is start looking at major titles and start seeing, like, when they're announced.
The big rumor was that the Watch Dogs demo from last E3 was running on new hardware.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Ubisoft title.
There was another one that they made that claim about.
I thought it was Last of Us or something, too.
No, it was Watch Dogs, and there was one other one that people were saying was probably running on next generation.
That
hardware.
Watch Dogs demo was fucking awesome. Yeah. That caught a lot. I was there in the audience when they announced it, and it was just like, it caught everyone off guard. Mm-hmm. It was like, what the hell is this thing? And it's kind of surprising at E3 now to actually see something brand new and playable.
Yeah, something you never heard of.
Yeah, before. Yeah. I mean, that was the thing about E3. They'd always announce all these new games. Now everything's expected. It's like, all right, we've got a sequel to, you know, every game that's been coming out. And to see something fresh and original is just...
We never talked about the VGAs. They had that weird trailer for that game. People think it's the next Metal Gear game.
Oh, the whale, Moby, or White Whale? Is that what it was called?
Yeah, that was the name of the studio.
That's right. I forget the basically people think is going to be the next Metal Gear game. Right?
Yeah.
So like people are like there's images where it's like alluding to what old boss and you know all the different characters from the game kind of popping back up again. Mm-hmm. It looked great, but
it was really bizarre. It's like out of nowhere. It's like one of those things. It's like out of nowhere.
Well,
and there's no context for it.
Well, wasn't like the CEO of this White Whale company like his name was an anagram for Kojima or something like
was
that?
It?
Yeah, it was something like very
conspiracy
obvious.
Conspiracy theories.
And then he even tweeted like that guy this fake guy tweeted at Mega 64 that he likes their stuff or something. And I know the Mega 64 guys. And Konami and Kojima are very friendly, so who knows? Get Rocco on the phone.
I got White Whale Games up here, but I don't see.
I forget what it was called, though.
Yeah.
It was something whale.
Moby Dick Studios.
That might have been.
Okay,
I'll look it up here.
And, yeah.
Listen to us talking about games on this comedy podcast.
Right?
When we went to PAX this past year, we went to a Konami party, and Mega 64 was there. You know, we went and we ran into them. And while we were standing there, I was ordering a drink, and I saw Hideo Kojima, like, walk in and, like, you know, immediately go to, like, the VIP area and everything. And I had, like, a couple of drinks, and I took off. And then, like, later that night, I'm checking Twitter, and there's, like, pictures of Kojima and, like, Rocco standing behind him, you know. like, not intentionally photobombing, but, like, talking to someone. And he's, like, always there, like, these guys are always...
It's kind of funny seeing stuff like that. Like, I was just there. Like, did you see the video that came out, I think, yesterday or today of the guy watching the chase... In Los Angeles, there's like a police chase. The guy's like all these cop cars following this guy.
And
he's like, he's filming the TV, and all of a sudden, like, it turns up a street, and then you can hear cop cars coming, and that chase, like, goes right behind the guy's, like, windows, like, the TV. He's like, oh shit, look at that, and then cuts back. It's pretty funny.
There was the Phantom Pain is the name of the game.
Phantom
that
Pain.
Was it.
Yeah.
There was an instance where a guy was watching a high speed chase, and he had to go out, so he taped it, and then he ended up having the guy in the chase pull up alongside him, crash, get him out of his car, and then drive off. So he has a tape of himself being pulled out onto the road, and then his car bombs away.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's really funny.
Yeah, that's really awesome. I'm sure he feels great about that.
It's awesome that it didn't happen to me, you know.
He got thrown down and looked up and waved.
What games are you looking forward to this year, Gus?
That list that I just read.
Are you looking forward to GTA 5? Or, I mean, it sounded like you didn't even play 4,
I played a ton of GTA 1, 2, and 3.
Mm.
I played a ton of Vice City, but I never made the leap beyond that.
Really?
San Andreas is where I kind of got lost. I played a lot of San Andreas, but I never finished it. And
did you play Red Dead?
Yeah, I didn't care for it.
Really?
I'm starting to have problems with open world games. Like, if I'm not told immediately, this is what you need to do, and, you know, I'm not pushed along that story, I end up getting lost. I'll get too distracted.
I gotta be focused. Like, originally, there wasn't enough freedom in games, and then they give you freedom, and then there's too much freedom, and now I want to be pushed down a path again. I don't want the freedom anymore.
But I think Rockstar handles that better than anybody else. Like, the stories in Rockstar games are so damn good.
Well, I liked all the episode stuff in GTA. Like, you come back around and touch on your original character.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I remember
awesome.
Doing that when I was Nico.
Yeah.
I remember killing that guy.
Like,
I
want to go back and play GTA 4 just because the DLC looks so good.
Ballad of Gay Tony is better than the original game.
So Ballad of Gay Tony specifically is why I want to go back and play GTA 4 and play that.
Well, apparently in GTA 5 there are three main protagonists and you jump kind of back and forth between the three of them.
So. I'm actually excited for that game.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think that might be the swan song of this generation of consoles.
Yeah.
So
you guys ever did you play the original Grand Theft Auto, the one that was top down?
Yep. The first two were like that.
Yeah. Do you know there's one out, a game out now called Hotline Miami?
Yeah.
It's kind of in that style. Have you played it?
No, I haven't played it.
There's Retro City Rampage, which is like that.
Isn't that a side scroller?
No, it's top down.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's very very old school looking. It looks like GTA 1.
Well, Hotline Miami is a game I've been hearing a lot about. It's one of the things, like, you hear about it enough on the fringes, and you're like, I'm going to get this tried out. So I downloaded it off Steam, but I've been busy lately.
Yeah.
I got a big couple weeks here. I just got a new house.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. You just got a new house. Congratulations.
Literally today I got that, so thank you.
Do you have the key? Do you actually have a key?
I do have a key.
Nice.
Yeah.
Also, he's turning 40.
You can...
What's that?
You're turning 40 on Friday.
I am.
Way to bring that up.
You can save Joe the Cat from freezing to death tonight.
Oh, that's true.
In the unpowered studio.
He's not freezing to death. It's 55 degrees over there.
So. Yeah, but now he's also a cat.
The heater is no longer working.
Yeah, I guess it'll drop. It's been kind of crazy cold in Austin. I mean, if it gets down to freezing in Austin, that's weird.
A cat can sleep under a car and be warm, it can be...
I found him the other day. Lindsay was concerned that he was dead because she came in the morning and he didn't come out to greet her. She's like, "Can you help me look for Joe?" She's like, "I don't want to find a dead cat." I helped her look around, and eventually, like, I looked up on the ceiling of the studio, like, you know, it has that drop ceiling, and he was up there, and there's like a tube of insulation, like for ductwork, and he was just sitting in there, like looking out. And I was like, "Come on, Joe, come on!" He was not moving.
So how does that work? Does a cat just go and look at places that look warm, or can it see that? Does it have like heat vision to see that's a warm place? How does it sense that is warmer?
Did you just ask if a cat has heat vision?
I don't know.
How did he find that?
Can it feel like thermal?
The warmest place.
Yeah.
Yeah, this cat is predator.
Well, he's done this thing lately where he curls in the tightest ball possible.
That looks really comfortable to me.
It does. Well, the problem is he's jamming his face as close to his crotch as possible. And if you're going to your crotch for warmth, that's like the last stage of just like
a crotch is warm though, right?
I guess so.
What's the warmest? I think the warmest part of you, I think.
In Antarctica, during winter, the scientists have to sleep like foot and crotch, like to keep their extremities warm.
Really?
Yeah. So I think they like lie opposite and then.
Look, I'm all for science, but
wait, that's not like this.
I'm not sure. I think they're scissoring.
Go nuts to nuts.
Well, wait a minute. It seems like
putting all that marble for science.
It's for science.
It seems like you run out of scientist crotch though if you do that because you have the 2 feet per scientist.
But then you get another one here going out this way.
No, but you do it in a loop.
I feel like there's a mathematical equation.
Maybe it's like a reef.
Are you going to go in a ring? Yeah,
they go in a circle.
They make a Mobius strip so it never. Infinite cross.
Oh my god.
Jesus.
I don't know, man. Those people who like do that stuff. I read an article recently about that they're, I don't know who's doing this, but they're looking, a private company is looking for people who want to go to Mars and not come back.
I would do it.
Would you do that?
Yeah.
Like, with or without your wife. You say stuff like this all the time. My retirement plan's a shotgun. You would never shoot yourself with a shotgun. You will never go to Mars and not come back.
I would do it.
Bull. Okay, I will.
I will do it just to spite you. I will go to Mars out of spite, motherfucker. I will leave the planet. And the whole time I'll just be like,
Gavin's back on Earth like, oh, I can't believe you went.
Oh, he got me.
Just before your phone leaves the service area of Earth, there's just a picture of you at Earth like this. You just see the planet.
It's like my last tweet.
Yeah. By the time you land, we'll have telescopes. We'll develop telescopes powerful enough. We'll see you. We're just on Mars like this.
Earth.
Would you go?
Yeah.
It's like Barbara leaving Canada.
You'd be alone.
I said I'd like to.
You'd be alone.
I assume they'd send a group of people.
Well, who cares? You're all going to die together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Would that help you? You want to go with a group of people?
I need to keep my routine as close to the way it is now. I got to ignore people. I got to find reasons to hide.
You need people to go with you so you can ignore them.
Yeah. Gus would be the new.
There's no one to ignore.
There's no people here for me.
It's like there are 10 people on this planet. I just have to avoid 9 people. Every day, there's just 9 people I have to stay away from.
God. I can imagine him in the spacecraft, like, making tape lines down the middle of the road. It's like, nope, this is mine. This is mine.
Who ate my sandwich?
Labeling the space refrigerator.
This is my space pizza.
So, would you go if there was no internet?
I mean, I assume there's going to be no internet.
Flew you all the way to Mars. They didn't install cable internet.
No.
Yeah, they don't have a cable long enough. They're still working on it.
Why does internet have to come from Earth?
No, they
What? Why does internet have to come from?
Why do they have Mars internet?
You get a Mars net, you mail 9 people.
Yeah, it's the same reason there's no one there. Wikipedia sure is empty.
You can email 9 people and Gus will ignore you.
Mars.wikipedia.org has 2 articles.
Gus is on misconnections on fucking Craigslist on Mars. Mars.craigslist.com. Like,
you, John. I saw you. You didn't say hi.
Saw you watering space plants. Me? Coffee?
You have the World Wide Web on Earth, and you have the...
I assume there could be a slow link to transfer data, but it would take a long time.
You get like 10 Instagram alerts all day long that were just red dirt. I know!
No, I put a sepia filter on this. It's the fucking same! It's still looks red!
That was just brown dirt.
It's like you go to like play a game and like you sort them by ping and they're all like 998. Like they're all like the terrible ping.
You would have to choke one of the other astronauts going, stop taking photos of your freeze-dried ice cream. We all eat it every day, we know. Does every astronaut eat the Neapolitan freeze-dried ice cream?
I didn't have that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's good, right?
They sell it. There's a...
I have some, actually, right now.
Downtown... What, are you saving?
You?
No. I went to Alabama recently, and I went to some space station there. Or, like, space...
The Alabama station. Space station.
It's some space center. It's like a...
Space camp.
Space camp, yeah.
That was a giant rocket. I sat in one, and then I took some ice cream.
You can buy that.
You took some ice cream, or you paid for it?
I don't know. It was NASA ice cream, wasn't it?
It's all government funded.
I don't know what I did.
It's NASA flavored. There's a candy shop downtown, an old school candy shop, and they sell like lots of different stuff.
Big Top,
yep. And they have like an old school soda jerk. Which you should go to. Jordan always looks like a dude in a Western who's going into town for a dance. You know, he's always got like the way his hair is cut and all that.
It's like Back to the Future Part 3 style.
You're either like the villain in that. Like he's the rich guy going to the hoedown.
We decided to have a bow tie podcast in his honor since he's always so dapper.
Yeah. Which meant that you jumped on the bow tie bandwagon after.
Yeah, and then
he was the child's play dinner.
Screwed mine up.
So, just kind of, I thought bow ties are supposed to be like tight in the middle. Yours seems very fat, I guess.
Yeah.
Did you tie your own?
Yeah.
I tied
my own. I think mine looks pretty good.
Brandon's wearing
my giant green bow tie.
Yeah, they're all mine.
We had the control room crew wear them all also,
yeah.
But
Cameron's wearing one.
Dave was wearing one too.
But.
So I was amazed that he could tie one from the front. Like, if ever I tie a tie for someone else, I have to be behind them and do it over their shoulders.
It's just personal preference.
Yeah. I can't do it.
I like to look you in the eye when I.
Who the hell do you tie ties for?
I've tied some ties in my ears.
Yeah?
For whom?
I don't know, actually.
Okay, great story.
I didn't tell that story.
Here's a story, and Gavin didn't understand why this was weird or rude or anything like that. He said that we were talking about weddings, and I think we were talking about Lindsay and Michael's wedding, and we were talking about the potential who the groom's party would be. And so he said, Gavin, you'll probably be in that. He goes, nah, I wouldn't do it. And I go, what do you mean you wouldn't do it? He goes, I just wouldn't do it. And I said, you wouldn't stand up at somebody's wedding? He goes, nah, I wouldn't, too much. And I said, really? He goes, yeah. He goes, like, my friend, he goes, you want me to be the best man at his wedding? I was like, nah. I was like, somebody asked you to be their best man, and you just went, nah.
Jesus Christ, you asshole.
I don't want any responsibility at someone's wedding. I get nervous.
You know how hard it is to be someone's best man?
Have you ever heard, Jack, of someone saying no to that question?
You asshole.
My reasoning is that I wouldn't be in the country when the wedding happened.
Oh, no, is this the one you went back for? You skipped RTX? So you were in the fucking country.
Yeah, I went in the end, yeah.
And he wasn't even like a groomsman or anything. He just said no to
usher or anything. Like you just sat down.
Will you be my best man? Nah.
Fuck. So I can't do it. I'm
fill out a form.
I'll be there getting drunk. That's what I do at weddings. Anything else? Just you know a lot of people.
You guys might want to consider going on the spaceship together. Be okay.
It's all a lot of guff anyway.
You're gonna need a village idiot on Mars. So
can you imagine? Can you imagine
tradition like a best man is? What is that?
Can you imagine? If you and I were the only people on a planet, like, it was just you and me, and there was like a fucking line down the middle of the planet.
It'd be fine. Well, it'd be fine. I'd be like, occasionally, I'd be like, hey, you want to play Super Mario or something?
Listen, you guys would be 10 months into the mission, and you would say to Gavin, you'd meet him in the hallway and say, you say, God, I'm so sick of these other fucking 8 people on the ship. And Gavin would go, what other 8 people? It would like, Gavin would go 8 months and not meet anybody on the ship. Yeah. Somehow he would avoid everybody and not learn anybody's name.
I'm lucky in that I haven't been bored in about 10 years. I can't remember the last time I've just been sat on my own bored. Because
I can just keep myself entertained. Even if I don't have anything, I can just, like, think about stuff.
You keep yourself entertained at other people's expense.
Like what?
That's the problem. Like, you just, you think about yourself. Like, even today I was like, hey, Gavin, did you bring a tie? And you're like, no. And I was like,
well, he emailed letting us know. Yeah. Actually,
I don't have a bow tie. Oh, wow. Okay, Jordan that is has surprising. Seven or something.
But he's like, I'll sort himself out. It's like, no, because someone will do it for you because you don't think about anything.
He emailed me when I really started talking about the bow tie podcast. Like, I don't have one.
He did something very nice, though. We went out to Vegas for New Year's. Did you talk about this at all before?
We haven't had a podcast. Live podcast.
This is the first live one.
All right, since New Year's, yeah. So we went out to Vegas for New Year's, and he was in London. I posted this on Twitter. He was in London, and I bought tickets to go see the show the day before. I said, you're going to be in town? He goes, yes, I'll be in town tomorrow night. But I said, okay, we're going to see a show. He doesn't tell me he's getting into 10 p.m. at night. So I had tickets for like 10:30.
I wasn't getting until.
Oh, you did. You actually did talk about this. I think somewhere. I've heard this.
I put it on Twitter. I posted a video on Twitter about it. And
I wasn't getting until 8, and it was at 8:30 that it started. I think it was 9, and it was 9:30.
Right. So I bought like $180 for a ticket to Zakara Cirque du Soleil show at Aria, which is one of the hotels in Vegas, and. So Gavin is coming from London to Las Vegas.
I didn't realize how far west Vegas was. Because I took an 8-hour flight to Philadelphia from London. And usually I fly to Chicago or Dallas and then go to Austin, which is either like a couple of hours or like 40 minutes if you're in Dallas or something like that. And then I looked at the thing, it was like 5.5 hours from Philadelphia to Vegas. I was like, what? So yeah, it was really like two long flights back to back.
So did he make it?
I get a 5-minute window in Philadelphia when I said, hey, I got all of our stuff for tonight. I said, just tell me what time you're getting in. And he goes, I'm getting at 8:30. I'm like, well, the show's at fucking 8:30. I'm like, what are you doing? Why would you tell me to get tickets to a show if you're not going to be here at night?
And well, communication here didn't tell me. He just said, want to go to a show? I said, yeah. That was the map. You didn't say what time it was. So I...
Yeah, no, don't throw this on him. What time did you think the show was if you're landing like at 9 p.m.? Oh, it's a midnight show. That's fine.
Oh, it was Vegas. Who knows? But anyway, I landed. He was texting me the whole time. He's like, you're not going to make this.
So, no, I was coordinating.
Yeah, you were trying. So he set it up so that I would get a cab from the airport, dump my luggage without even checking in, just dump it at the hotel, and then immediately get back in the cab and go to a different hotel to this thing. I arrived at 8:28.
He got there. He flew from London to Vegas and got to the show a minute and 45 seconds before the show started.
Jeez.
It was absolutely perfect.
I arrived. I was like, whew, that was a long time. Let's go sit down. And the show was literally like lights were fading down. I just sat down. I was like, that worked out brilliantly.
So did you
fall asleep?
No, it's fine.
It was a badass show,
was
too.
This is a Cirque show out there? They've got like 9 Cirque shows.
Every hotel seems like... Some hotels have like multiple ones, right?
Yeah, I saw Penn & Teller out there in Rio, and they put on a hell of a good show. So.
That's all they do, really. It's just Vegas.
They're based in Vegas, but I mean, Penn did the...
They have that bullshit show for...
Yeah, I think they still do that.
Yeah, they still do on shows.
But they have... like, Penn actually has a podcast that he talks about and there's some cool stuff on. And then he was on the Celebrity Apprentice for a while. And he was on the Celebrity Apprentice All-Stars.
I like him because he was in Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Really?
Yeah.
That's why you like him?
That's the first time I saw him.
Don't we all?
So you guys went to Vegas. Did you gamble at all, Gavin?
No.
Because you don't strike me as someone who would ever gamble.
This trip to Vegas was the first time I finally learned how to play craps.
I'm very, very happy
totally
about that.
Hooked.
It's craps is fun,
yeah,
right?
Alan took me to like an empty craps table that wasn't in use, and he like pointed at everything, explained it all, and we went over, and the thing that struck me the most, like, even after having him teach me everything, going to a table, I was really nervous I'm going to screw it up because there's a lot of people. And I ended up standing next to the dealer. The dealer was super friendly. And I was like, this is my first time, like, you were standing at a craps table. She's like, okay, well, you let me know if you have questions. And, like, she helped me make the bets and explain everything as I had questions. It was super pleasant experience.
Yeah, that's the cool thing about craps is everyone's rooting together. Like, everyone's cheering together, you know? Unless someone's playing Don't Pass, then fuck that guy. But aside from that, it's like everyone wants to do well. Like, everyone is making money. If the dice
everybody
are hot...
Everyone wants to win money.
Okay. Well, I mean, like poker, obviously, is a very... very but, like poker is very combative. Like, because you're facing off against other people. It's like, you want to beat everyone there at the table. Blackjack, you want to beat a dealer, but even then... Well, you want to beat the dealer, but even then, like, I can theoretically screw up someone else's
game. No, we're all
on the same page.
No, no, I'm saying you can, but I'm saying some people feel that.
Every time, well, here, let's explain what you're talking about. At blackjack,
yes,
you're supposed to play, quote-unquote, in a certain way.
Yes.
You hit on certain numbers, you stand on certain numbers.
And it totally depends in some of those gray areas, like twos against sixes and stuff like that. it totally depends on how big the deck is that you're up against, how big the shoe is, you know, for what you're supposed to do. And in some of those areas, it gets really complicated. And there are some jackasses who play blackjack that if you don't play exactly right, they complain at you that you're messing up the table, which is fucking impossible.
Well, that happens, like, we actually played in a poker tournament recently, like a local poker tournament with friends and stuff. And, like, there were a couple people there that were, like, playing super, super seriously because the pot was pretty big. And it was one of those things where, like, well, if he actually knew what he was doing, he wouldn't have played like that.
That's so stupid.
And you can't, you just can't do that. It's just
well, that's an excuse.
It's an excuse, but it's kind of like...
It's random. It's supposed to be random.
Yeah. I mean, like...
But and in poker, if the other person doesn't know what they're doing, take their money.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
But, you know, but in poker, like, if someone has, like, a, you know, a 3-6 offsuit as a pocket, and they go in on the blind, and then they catch something, like, typically you would fold that hand. Or, like, someone who plays poker a lot would fold that hand. But it's like, but if you know someone's never played poker before, it's like, all right, Gavin has no idea what the fuck we are talking about.
Right.
He's making this stupid ass face.
No, yeah, I totally agree. But anyway, people bitch about.
But here's why it aggravates me though: is that those guys always like? It's always when you're with a girl and you're trying to teach her how to play blackjack. Yeah. She's playing for the first time, and you're like, "Don't worry about it. It's nobody cares what you're doing or anything like that." Yeah. And there's always some jackass going, "Oh, you took my fucking king," and she's like, "Oh," and you're like. Fuck you, dude. Yeah. Get the fuck out of here.
But anyway.
You're at a $10 table. Get the fuck out
of
here.
But anyway, that being said, that's why I love craps, because craps is everyone cheering together. And, like, that's when you hear people, you know, screaming and yelling.
So I did.
Unless you play the dark side.
Well, then fuck
I did have kind of an asshole experience when playing craps.
Really?
So at one point, like, I wanted to play. All the tables were crowded, except there was one table where it was, like, one guy playing. I was like, okay, cool. I'll walk up over there and play. So, like, I cash in some chips. And then the dealer immediately passes me the dice. And the guy who was at the table was like, are you fucking kidding me? This guy just walks up and you give him the dice? And I was like, oh, shit. And he's got, like, a t-shirt with, like, guns on it. It says something like, don't mess with me. And it's got, like, all these handguns. I'm like,
scared.
I was like, oh, my God, this guy's got, like, a super, like, southern accent. I was like, I'm sorry. He's like, you better roll well to make up for that. And luckily, I had a few good rolls in a row. And he won some money. So he calmed down this situation.
What does he mean, roll well?
Not tense. Like, he won money. Like, I rolled... Like, I think as soon as I picked it up, I rolled a 7, so he won his money back immediately.
So there's no skill whatsoever?
No, there is no skill in craps.
No, it's just odds. It's just what
roll dice.
Number do you
think is going to come up. So it's just chatting
shite, then. Craps is actually, I think, supposedly the first roll of someone throwing craps is the best odds you have in Vegas. Like, it's something like... I forget what it is exactly. Like, 51% or something.
You put money down on the first roll, and if they roll a 7 or 11... You instantly win money.
If you put on the pass line.
Yeah, if they don't roll that, then your bet rides, and then you hope they roll that number again.
Yeah.
It's the most we've ever talked about gaming. Now we're talking about gambling.
Now we're talking about a different kind of game.
Yeah, I mean, I watched... You and Dan did a few bets, and you both won, like, all your bets. And
Bernie won $100 for me. Or what was that the time? Yeah, you did. Yeah,
I won $100.
Yeah, I still wasn't tempted to do it. I just...
Yeah, at one point, I was waiting for Alan. Like, we were supposed to go to the podcast awards, and he texted me. He's like, I'm going to be 10 minutes late. So I walked over to the craps table. And I was playing. Then he walked up. He's like, oh, hey, I'm here. Let's go. He's like, okay, well, let me cash out. And I was like, $250 up in 10 minutes. Awesome. I was like, wow.
Dude, if you can find a hot table, I've actually been down to the point where I had $20 left, and it was on the table. I had nothing in front of me, literally just nothing in front of me. If the guy would have crapped out, I would have been done. And I went from that $20, and I walked away from the table up $700.
Nice.
And it's just like, those experiences are the best ones. Those are the ones that make you want to go back to Vegas.
What does the term hot table mean?
That means, like, someone's throwing points and not crapping.
You're going to start betting on the podcast?
Getting lucky. No. I'm going to give Gavin back $200. I'm giving this back to you.
All right.
Because Dan gave that to you to give to me. Dan from Slow Mo Guys that you brought out to Vegas.
Slow Mo Team.
That you brought out to Vegas. He sent that along to send to me. And I want to give it back because I want to have the story more than I want to have the money, Dan, of why you owe me the $200. Because Dan is a fucking idiot. Dan might be one of the most lovable buffoons.
Is that ever. Gavin's money or Dan's money?
So that's Dan's money that Gavin gave to me on behalf of
Dan,
me.
If you're not watching this.
That's what I did to him.
Now, baby.
He gave me $100. He goes, here, if you see, we have a system in roulette, Jack. Yeah. I understand. He goes, do this system, bet on black if you see a bunch of reds. And I said, okay. And I took $100 from him. I go, by the way, your $100, you lost your bet. Sorry about that, dude. But Dan... It was unbelievable. We went out to dinner. We went to a really nice dinner on New Year's Eve night, okay? It was my girlfriend Ashley, Gavin, and Dan. And
lovely meal.
Lovely meal. Lovely time.
You and a bunch of women. Nice.
Well, it was... Yeah, right, exactly. Dan's actually burly. Big dude, dude. He's a big military dude, yeah. But I guess, ironically, he decided that these tickets, you know, or what we paid for the seats at dinner, I guess he assumed that, like, everything was all-inclusive. So he busts out the cocktail menu, and he decides to order, like, in a row, every girly drink on the menu. And Dan can pack it away, dude. He must have had, what, 10 drinks, 12 drinks?
Easily, yeah.
And, I mean, some of them were so, like, crazy. They were big fish bowls with, like, glowing ice cubes.
Yeah, the ice cubes were flashing.
They were flashing. Like, LED.
Classic.
Was it, like, a prefix menu?
Yes, exactly. Oh, okay, right. And, then, okay. And our courses were set and all that. Okay, and so, okay. And it was really nice.
Fucking rookie mistake.
Yeah. It was definitely. And then the bill came, and I said, whoa. I said, Dan, look how much all your stuff was. And then he gets it, he goes like this, and he just like fucking color rained out of him. Just like he turned white, and then she's like, And then he told another story about how he doesn't understand menus. And I thought it was a joke that he was making.
Every interaction between him and a waitress takes forever.
It does.
He just confuses them, and then there's like a ring of confusion where she's explaining it back to him, but he's not listening. Yeah. He's trying to mix meals. We once at a Mexican restaurant, he tried to order the burrito fajitas or something. He was like trying to mix it all around, and he's like, no, but do you want this? Or wait, do you want this as an appetizer? And he's like, no, idiot, no. I want, and also, no, take the onions out of this as well. I don't want that, and then I want this with this. And it got to the point where the waiter was just like, I'm sorry, I'm just... And he walked off and someone else came.
That waiter has a podcast. Yeah. He's doing that story right now. Yeah.
This is unbelievable.
The next day, and then he told another story about how he went to McDonald's and he didn't understand the menus are vertical columns, so he just read straight across. He goes, I want a Big Mac Chicken Legend Sunday.
And the person's like, which one? You want the Big Mac or the Chicken Legend? He's like, no. The Big Mac Chicken. Oh.
He just keeps reading. We went to
what did you think that was?
I don't know.
In his mind, he's like, that sounds good.
I was like, how far is he going to read?
What did he imagine that the Big Mac Chicken...
Big Mac Chicken Legend milkshake apple juice.
The next day, we went out to this restaurant in Mandalay Bay. It said, I've probably shown you this place. It's the restaurant where everything is white. The walls are white. The decorations are white.
Like
the tables
the
are white.
The top of the hotel, right?
It's got the bar is really cool. Like we had a huge, a way up view of
the
top of the Stratus view.
That was the only thing.
Yeah, the glass drinking glasses are red for some reason there.
Weird.
So we're ordering food there, and I'm buying them dinner. This is after the New Year's Eve night when he spent, and I picked up his drinks, which is why he felt obligated to pay me back. Which is really very nice, but not necessary.
Although, also, $200, way not enough.
He had like $350 worth of drinks,
Jesus
I think.
Christ.
Yeah, he
Holy
was just...
Shit.
He was
did like, he keep the like glowing ice cubes or anything?
They took a bunch of pictures with him on Instagram.
It looked like you were drinking a sunset. It was really
drinking a sunset.
I took a picture, actually, of the receipt. I can read you some of the names of the drinks.
I have a video, because I knew it was going to be horrendous. Because you said before the bill came, he's like, you need to drink something free. And he's like, what? So I've got a video of you opening the bill and being like, oh. It's a great video.
Look at this. Here's a picture of the bill. That's how long Dan's
holy crap. Oh, what's that stamp say? Gratuity included?
Yeah. Upcharge. He had a Last Tango, a Blue Teeny, a Mango Madness, a Raz Gino. And then even at the end of the meal, when I knew he didn't know he was paying for all of his drinks, we were like, did you get the waiter say, you want coffee? And I said, yeah, I'll have a coffee. And Jinx goes, I'll have a coffee too. And Gab's like, no, I'm fine. And Dan goes, I'll have an Irish coffee. And I'm like, sure, what the fuck? Give me an Irish coffee. Why don't we do that? The next night, we go to this white restaurant where everything's all white, and we're ordering. Dan is trying to order his food, and he gets in an argument with the waitress. Like he's like, I want scallops, the appetizer, and we want this, what do you have for the thing? A steak.
Something.
Yeah, a pot roast
there
thing.
There were no scallops appetizers.
There was no scallop appetizers. Another dinner. And she's like, so do you want scallops or thing? He ends up ordering two dinners. Two dinners he gets. And he's like,
everyone gets like a tiny little petite appetizer. Like, oh, yeah. He gets a big plate of it. He's like, yeah.
They brought an entree out as an appetizer?
Yeah.
They brought it in his
plate. They brought him a dinner as an appetizer.
To be fair to the waitress, she was very cool and patient with him. He's like, yeah, all right, yeah, went off. And then Dan went to piss. The waitress came back. And you were like, so he ordered two meals, right? And she was like, yeah, I don't know what the hell he was doing.
Oh, my God.
She probably thought you guys were like hobbits. It's like you get a second dinner.
Oh, that's why Dan was nice. Afterwards, he was like, I had a great time, and I'm really sorry. Give money to Gavin so he can pay you back for me ordering two dinners and hashtag every drink in Vegas.
Fucking leech.
Let me tell you. Make it fun. Dan was a blast in Vegas.
No, he actually came here afterwards because you guys went out.
Yeah, he popped in on the podcast.
Might be like one of, like the quintessential like the perfect guy to go to Vegas with. He's just like up for anything, do whatever. Cool.
He had a very awkward exit from the green screen podcast.
He just stands off to the side. You can see his arm, and he's like, "Oh, I'll go back this way." And he pretends to walk downstairs, like he's really funny. And then he just stands up in the back. And he's like, "Yeah, we have still a screen down."
He's like, "Just leave, Dan. Just walk away."
He's out of the shot. Whoever was kind to him, genius. Brandon, that was amazing.
That was so funny. Is it okay to say this? He's coming back, right?
Yeah, he's gonna come back.
He's gonna come back like in a month or so.
Yeah, we're gonna shoot some more. Because
I can't wait.
Keep having to go to England to shoot Slow Mo Guys, so I'm just gonna bring him.
Yeah, that's cool.
Okay. Speaking of people,
how long is he in the military? How long does he have left?
He's going on tour to Afghanistan for 6 months.
In some slow mo stuff there.
Wow,
there you go.
Yeah. And he's well up for that.
Yeah, he's talking about that. We'll talk to him next time he's here, but like extremely well traveled too. Like he's been all over South America, like before he went in the military.
Wow.
He just traveled all over the place. Yeah, he's done a lot of really cool stuff.
Man. Yeah, he went because he used to be a nerd. He went away to South America, to like Peru and Bolivia.
Yeah, like all the nerds.
Yeah, those
Peru.
No,
those nerd countries in South America.
How many times have you been to Peru, Gus?
He was a nerd. At school, and then he did that, and he came back like a decent guy, is what I was saying.
Oh, okay.
He came back and got laid.
Something
like,
happened to him.
This is literally a
drugs.
Podcast full of guys in bow ties talking about video games. Pointing out
nerds.
Some nerd went to Peru.
But you met llama.
Let me read this a little bit here. So I remind everyone that this podcast is also brought to you by the final season of Spartacus on the Starz Network. Final season is premiering Friday, January 25th at 9 p.m. Eastern on Starz. You can catch up on previous seasons with Starz On Demand, download on iTunes, or purchase DVDs. I bought it on Xbox Video myself. And don't miss the exclusive live stream of the Spartacus Red Carpet premiere on Machinima. They'll be screening exclusive content, interviewing cast, and streaming the first scene from the new season. So whenever we get one of these sponsors, you mentioned this before, that like I always go through like a vetting process where like I try the product or... I watch the show. So in the case of Spartacus, like...
It's like you've been on it for, like, six
yes,
months.
I've been on it for a long time. But I bought, like, the Spartacus seasons on Xbox Video, and I've been watching them. And it's really, really interesting. It's really cool. Like, before watching the series, I didn't know that Spartacus was a real person. Like, I always assumed... Yeah, I always assumed it was, like, King Arthur or, like, a made-up story.
Yeah. Well, I assume, like... So I've watched it, too. I got the DVDs as well. I've been watching it. I've watched about half of the first season. And I thought Spartacus was, like, you know, from the movie Spartacus. I thought it was that story. It's a completely different story. It's pretty damn cool, man. It's sort of like Gladiator meets 300, at least. And it's just like, wow, this is really, really badass.
Yeah, and there's, like... This is going to sound like a terrible thing to say. There are boobs constantly in that TV show.
Jack was telling me about it.
Yeah,
at lunch.
It's just like
there's boobs everywhere.
There are boobs everywhere.
It's just like camera pans over the crowd. Like, yeah. There's not even always
that's
good
exactly
boobs.
What Jack
like,
said.
It's like gross boobs sometimes. Like, oh.
Yeah.
There's still
like,
boobs.
But it's like, so like they have these gladiator fights in these arenas, and like the camera's just panning through the audience. And it's just like women screaming, and like their tops are off, and they're screaming, and their boobs are flopping everywhere. It's just like. How do we get audiences like that at RTX? Can we make that happen?
Esports!
Everyone's in slow motion. No, but they do some really cool stuff on the show. You should check it out, Gavin, because they do some cool slow-mo stuff. And like they do
it reminds me of 300 moves. In that aspect, especially because they really adopt like a graphic novel feel.
Yeah.
Where 300 was like 40 minutes long, right?
Yeah.
That's like a movie.
When you speed it up. And you shot some of Dread, not to get off topic, but you shot some of Dread, and there's a lot of slow-mo stuff. But then I realized when actually watching the movie Dread... that a lot of that slow-mo stuff must be CG because it's all gores, you know.
Yeah,
stuff.
I mean, I only did pickups of, like, stuff flying through the air and, like, element stuff against green screen. It wasn't the They shot most of that in South Africa. I wasn't there.
Oh, really?
That's cool. But, yeah, but, like, Spartacus, like, they do some cool stuff where they do almost, like, I don't know what it's called, but, like, almost the Ken Burns effect where it's, like, cutouts with stuff happening behind it and kind of, like, this sort of different slow motion and lots of blood and gore.
They do that a lot for the montage stuff.
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty cool, but it's a cool show. Like, it's really kind of caught me, and I'm excited to see the rest of the series.
I was a little concerned after the first episode. The first episode I felt was kind of slow and clunky, but then you watch the second one, it really
Yeah, every up. Series like that.
Well, that's what I realized. It's a pilot, you know.
Yeah, you can definitely tell, like, the pilot was a lot of green screen work, and then from that point on, it's like, oh, now they have some real sets, and they actually have some cool actors, and And like the one of the main guys is one of the dudes from actually from 300, the dude who gets kicked into the well.
Oh yeah,
he's like the instructor.
This is Madness guy.
Yeah, this is Madness guy. So like he's like the instructor to Ludus, like the gladiator school that they're all at.
I don't know if you noticed, but Sam Raimi is one of the executive producers.
Yeah, Sam Raimi and Robert Tapert, who were like the two guys behind like all Evil Dead, and those guys have been around forever. So
I learned a funny fact about Sam Raimi is that he always wears a suit on set. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And then he also wears, he buys all of his suits one size too big.
Really?
For comedic purposes. it's funny. The Three Stooges did that. And now that somebody pointed that out to me, the Three Stooges wear suits that are one size too big, and I never noticed that before.
I read that Steven Spielberg never shows up. He never shows up for the last
foyer.
The last shot of any movie he does.
Really?
Because he didn't show up to the last shot for Jaws because he thought they were going to throw him in the water with the with the shark. Yeah. So now, like, he kept that up. Now for every movie, he never shows up to the last thing.
So like everyone raps, and he's not there.
Yeah, they rap. And
that's weird.
He's not there to rap.
He's like, no, he's waiting outside. And
he's like, I don't want to get thrown
there's
in.
Actually, there's a cool
that would be awesome if he shows up to the last shot of his last movie and they throw him in a shark tank.
They got him. Finally.
The defense ever. They just do it the day before.
Yeah, now, I'm sure.
Well, I think he does it now for Superstitious Birds because Jaws was going to be a flop and was a huge hit.
I heard that Robbie Coltrane, whenever he goes on set, he always sits in the director's chair and then stands up and gets the director's chair wedged on his ass and walks around and makes everyone laugh.
What?
Every day is just what you do on Harry Potter.
Nice. To jump back, there's a book called If Chins Could Kill by Bruce Campbell.
Yeah.
And it talks about him growing up. Like, him and Sam Raimi were, like, best friends growing up as kids. And they did Evil Dead together. And sort of, they kind of, you know, grew through the industry together. And, like, they talk a lot about, like, Sam's interaction. And, like, they love Three Stooges and sort of that slapstick comedy. And when they did Evil Dead, it was kind of like they had actually made some short films together, and they made a horror short film, and like they would show these little short films at like colleges and stuff, and the one that would always get a rise out of people were the horror films, where people would jump scare and stuff, and they're like, we should make a horror movie, and so they made Evil Dead, and that
Sam
launched their careers.
Cool, though, because he always goes back and makes small movies in between making, like, he made Spider-Man. He was the guy behind Spider-Man 1 and 2, right?
1, 2, and 3.
Yeah, the Tobey Maguire ones, not the new ones, not the Andrew Garfield ones. And then what's he doing now?
He's executive producing a remake of Evil Dead, actually. And I'm not sure what he's working on after that.
We saw a clip for that at Bunnumathon. But in between those Spider-Man movies, he went back and made a small horror movie called Drag Me to Hell.
Which is awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Great movie.
Great
right?
movie.
Yeah.
I caught it at South By, and it was one of those things like, wow, this is awesome. It's like,
Drag Me to Hell is great. It's great the whole way through, too. Goofy, the last moment of the movie.
Goofy and gory and dumb, but awesome. Like, he had Darkman. Like, people forget that. Like,
Darkman.
Yeah,
Jesus.
That was Liam Neeson, was the star of Darkman. It was like, that was before, you know, he got huge. And
Didn't Liam Neeson never act a day in his life before he was like 40 years old or something like that?
Really?
Or 41? Yeah.
Well, like, his first season. He said about Alan Rickman, too.
Was it Alan Rickman? Or it's one of those guys.
I think Alan Rickman is true.
Yeah.
Liam Neeson's accent, I can't figure it out. Where is he actually from?
He's Ireland.
Yeah, he's Irish.
He never sounds. It doesn't sound like an Irish accent. It doesn't sound American. It doesn't sound anything. Just like a weird mix of everything.
No, so I was so shocked during the Golden Globes the other day when Damian Lewis won a Golden Globe for Homeland. And he goes up there and accepts it with a British accent. I was like, what the fuck? Normally I can tell when Brits are doing American accents. But that one, I seen him in Band of Brothers and Homeland. I was like, what the fuck? Really?
The one who really fucked with me?
Spider-Man?
Stringer Bell from The Wire. Mm. The black dude.
Yeah,
oh, wow.
Yeah, he's British dude.
Idris Elba.
There's a guy in Homeland, the CIA director, who's also British in real life.
I was surprised it's Andrew Garfield.
Spider-Man.
Not from Spider-Man, but from Social Network.
Yeah.
I watched an interview with him.
When
you hear Christian Bale's real voice.
Yeah.
Christian Bale.
Or even like Yvonne Stravinsky, or however you say her name, the girl from Chuck who was in Mass Effect.
Mm-hmm.
She's Australian, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So in Mass Effect, it's like her real voice.
Yeah, yeah. But wow, you see her in Chuck, and it's like, oh, you're not American.
Yeah, and she was in Dexter. And she was
Laurie as well.
I wasn't surprised by that one.
Yeah.
Really?
His name's Hugh.
Did you watch Golden Globes?
Yeah, I did.
They were awesome.
They were pretty good. The thing I was surprised by is I felt like Tina Fey and Amy Poehler weren't hosting very much. Like, they were the hosts, but they were almost never doing anything.
God, when they were on screen, it was awesome. Like the bit when they got nominated for female actress in a comedy series, and it was Tina Fey was hanging out with, was it George Clooney, I guess, or something? I don't remember. She was snuggled up with someone, and, like, Amy Poehler. No, she was with Jennifer Lopez, and they were like all nervous and stuff, and then it cut to Amy Poehler, and she was like snuggled up next to George Clooney, and it's like, and they were having fun with it, which is what you're supposed to do.
Yeah. So. And then a couple of times they dressed up as like fake
nominees. Yeah, they announced fake movies.
Yeah, like they announced them. I was like, what?
It was like dog president or something. Like that. I was like, dressed like a man sitting there. It's like that's I like that. I like that they're kind of poking fun because they're making movies. You know, it's not brain surgery. Like every time I hear like, oh, they were so brave to make this film, it's like they're making a movie.
Does it drive anyone else crazy that the Golden Globes lump comedy and musical together?
Yeah.
Why the fuck?
Yeah. I think it's just lighthearted.
But musical, I feel, goes more with drama.
It's Alan Rickman. Alan Rickman got his first movie role at 46. But, sorry, corrected.
It was kind of crazy. Like, did you catch two at the Golden Globes? So Ben Affleck won for Best Director and Argo won for Best Picture. Mm-hmm. And, spoiler alert, sorry. And Ben Affleck isn't even nominated for Best Director for the Oscars, mm-hmm. which is kind of shocking, honestly.
Yeah, no, there was neither was Catherine Bigelow for Zero Dark Thirty.
No, that's right. Yeah, but that reminds me, like Jim Carrey, he won for I think Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind for Best Actor, and he wasn't even nominated for an Oscar mm-hmm. for Best Actor. It was like, mm-hmm. or I think he did that happened too with Man on the Moon. Like he won a Golden Globe, but wasn't even nominated for an Oscar or something.
That
it's
happens like, every now and then.
It's kind of surprising.
I feel like the Golden Globes are gaining more legitimacy lately.
Yeah,
like for a long time, it's a long running show.
Yeah,
but I feel like it's really
Academy's losing ground because they have like 10 Best Picture nominees
yeah.
now.
Yeah,
maybe God.
Or 9. It depends. What
I'm just not bothered
like.
By award shows. I'm not really that interested.
Oh yeah.
Well, into a further gaming thing.
I wish there was a gaming award show or a proper gaming award show.
There is.
Well, VGAs?
DICE is coming up too, and then there's BAFTAs. The BAFTAs are pretty well.
Yeah, those are very industry centric, but very prestigious. And yeah. they definitely have a lot of weight. I think Jack wants something public facing.
Yeah, like because right now we have the VGAs, which run by Spike TV, and what I always come back to for that was 3 years ago they had the awards painted on naked women, and it's like this is supposed to be your big night, like let's show the rest of the world how important we are, and here we are painting.
But if you go back to like the 70s for the Oscars, it looks like a joke.
Everyone's
suits.
Everyone's
hammered.
We
can do better than that.
But it's early stuff. I mean, movies are pretty well established by that point.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Video games are probably, they're really their second decade?
Yeah, but video games generate as much, if not more, revenue than the movie
industry. It's true. Things are a little more sophisticated now. I get it. But yeah, it'll catch up.
I would love to see like a proper award ceremony for video
games. Let's start one.
Let's do it. RTX.
Wait, the Rich Teeth Podcast Award.
Podcast Award.
You know, Freddie W. came by. He was on the podcast a few weeks ago. He came here. I gave him his trophy from 2 years ago.
He gave it back. It's on you now, Freddie.
No, because Bernie took it back and said, we'll mail it to you. Don't worry about it.
No, actually, Freddie did this. Freddie, here's the trophy you won for award. He goes, oh, yeah. Dump. Like, literally, like, put it down. And I was like,
he won it for, Flower Warfare back in, 2011 or something like that.
I think he's got a Kickstarter going right now for Video Game High School Season 2.
They are projected to pass their Season 1 total in 1 week so far with the rate they're going.
That's awesome.
Man, Hannah did one on Indiegogo that she raised, like, $150K in a day.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Like, in
what's
6 hours.
What?
She's taking My Drunk Kenshin on the road.
Yeah, she's going to do a tour.
Yeah. In fact, you can still donate to Hannah's thing.
That's cool.
Hannah's
awesome.
We all love Hannah. And Hannah was a guest on the podcast before.
I should start
Indiegogo
to have a second floor in my house.
Yeah. Is she coming back? She's coming back to RTX this year, right? Probably? Maybe?
I hope so. Yeah.
She's awesome.
Well, we should try to convince her to come to Austin things.
Yeah, we're in the process of starting that ball rolling. We just launched RTX ticket sales.
Buy your tickets. RTXevent.com.
So buy tickets.
Gee, what, $55 for 3 days?
$50.
$50 for 3 days.
For 3 days.
How much is that, Gavin, per day?
What? 18. What is it?
We're also...
You're actually pretty close with 18.
1666, I think. We're also having, you know,
Spill. Peru.
Spill is another website here in town. And they had their own event in Austin called Spill.con.
Spill.con, yeah.
Which was around the same time, and we convinced them to have it at RTX.
Nice.
So all the Spill events will be at RTX.
That's cool. And Spill's more based around like the actual filmmaking community, right? Mm-hmm.
And we attended their event a couple of years ago, and they're good. They're good people.
Yeah, they are. We like
so,
them.
So, they're going to have a whole area programming at RTX this year.
Cool.
So, check it out.
No, RTX is going to be bigger and better this year. I know we've got a bunch of really cool stuff.
And if you're in Australia or that far away, and you can't make it all the way to RTX, we started talking about our PAX Australia lineup, too.
Mm-hmm.
Just to figure out who we're sending. So, I think Jack...
I'm crossing my fingers.
Jack made the first cut of the list.
I'm on the list right now.
I sent Jack's name on the tentative attending list.
Well, there's no Halo games coming out over past Australia, right?
Surprise Halo 5.
As far as I know.
We'll see if there's a surprise E3 announcement. Hey. Halo 5 in 1 month.
Did you get surprised at all by the fact that Major League Baseball voted nobody into the Hall of Fame?
No, sure. Shocking.
Yeah, I thought that was really weird.
Well, because it wasn't Manny Ramirez. Who was the Mike Piazza? He was up for it.
Craig Biggio.
It was also Dale Murphy's final year of eligibility.
And he didn't get it?
Did not get it.
But no, this was the year that all the steroid guys. Let's talk about sports on this podcast. That's what's going to put us in that category.
Well, steroids is relevant because, like, 2 days from now, a famous Austinite is going to go on Oprah and reveal that he took fucking steroids.
He talked to her yesterday, and it's going to go up on Thursday, I think.
Yeah. What the fuck did I say?
Yeah.
Whatever. Anyway, what were we going to say, Gus? You pointed at me.
I want to say real fast. Barbara's texting me. RTX panel submissions are also open as well.
Oh, cool.
So if you have an idea for panel, submit it. We're taking all suggestions, and then we'll narrow it down from there.
I think we doubled up on literally every Rushdie panel.
Yeah.
I was talking with Barbara about it. Like, does the Rushdie panel, the AH panel, the podcast panel, and what's the other one? Barbara, come tell me what it is. We doubled up on all the main stage ones. I think we're gonna do.
Yeah, yeah. I know. When she came in today, we talked about doing two Achievement Hunter panels.
I snuck in on Jordan at his panel at the RTA panel last year. Remember that?
Oh no, we were hiding under the table. Remember?
No, I snuck in on you before that.
Oh, yeah, I was getting
so,
ready.
So like I had a run of like I knew how to get around the convention center through like the back access corridors. So I walked up to the room for the RTAA panel because I was on that too, and I opened like the back secret entrance doors, and I walk in, and Jordan and Tali are like just dancing in the middle of an empty room, and I walk in, and they both turn around, and have the most embarrassed look on their face.
That's what. Where did you come from?
If ever I picture you and Thalia, that's exactly what I picture you doing, just getting your groove on somewhere.
So what were you saying about steroids?
Oh, well, Lance Armstrong. He's
admitting doping, supposedly.
What a piece of shit.
That sucks, that guy.
I was all for him. Like when the whole thing where he was like, you know, like I'm done fighting this. Like whatever, I don't give a shit anymore. Yeah. I was like, okay, I'm cool with that. And now it's like he's coming out. He's like, oh no, actually,
yeah. People
like,
have turned.
Well, fuck you now.
People have turned on him, and at that point, I was still like, well, no, he's just done fighting. You know, he's still claiming innocence. But then so then I feel like extra betrayed.
Yeah, I'm like, well, fuck you, dude.
Yeah,
you
but if everyone was doing it, he had to.
But then he should have done it earlier. That's the thing. Like he fought it to the point where I was convinced. I was on his side. I was like, all right, you know, I guess he didn't do it, and it sucks that they're witch hunting this guy.
You have to be.
And now he's like, oh, I actually was doing it.
But you have to be really good anyway. Like, I couldn't just chuck a load of steroids and then bike for 120 miles. Whatever.
Take all that off the table. All that off
the table. That you're the best. Yeah. Even though you're on the same level because you're all doing
everyone's
the same amount of
steroids. Then you have to go up.
If still everyone, if steroids were okay, and if everyone could do them, fine.
Yes,
but they're not supposed to. And they
corrupt contest.
They test to stop the
It's like leaving your phone on an airplane.
No, not at all. Probably fine. No, but like, take all that off the table.
Okay.
Why is he doing it? After just a month ago, he was saying no, and I'm just not going to fight this anymore. Then it all goes away, and now all of a sudden he's supposedly
what I heard.
Yeah, Brandon's going like this. Yeah, because of money.
Yeah, supposedly he's actually because he had to leave his Livestrong organization, and I think they're seeing a big hit there. And that's something that's not affecting him directly, but it's affecting his charity organization. And I think he's kind of owning up to that and being like, okay, I fucked up.
They got
up.
More donations Don't punish in them. One day, their highest record day after he left, though.
Really?
What? You think he's getting sued? Brandon says he's getting sued.
He's getting sued by a tabloid, I think, in Britain. He sued them for libel.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody's, like, all his sponsors are trying to get their money back.
So Brandon's saying
he was like...
Hold on, we have to summarize for you, too, on the mic. So he's getting sued by a tabloid in the UK because he sued them for libel.
And won.
Who is it?
And won.
And also all of his sponsors want their money back as well. They all pulled out. Okay.
Okay. So. Wow, thanks, Brandon. Shut up.
Wait, so I don't get it then. So why would you admit to it then at that point? Because then you're fucked.
Maybe he's getting paid for this?
Well, I know. I
maybe
mean,
he's getting blackmailed and bribed into admitting something that he didn't do.
No.
Oh, what is that horseshit?
But no, I was all
you
for
you. Sound like a true Austinite.
No, I was all for the dude. I was like, I had his back. Now fuck that guy. I hope he gets hit by an 18-wheeler.
That would be fucking awesome.
Be strong.
Hope he gets hit by an 18-wheeler on 360.
Get strong.
Get strong.
So wait. Speaking of pulling out,
go ahead.
If you were to talk about a lady part to the lady.
Go on.
We
were talking about this earlier. Mm-hmm. How would you refer to the lady part?
This was pre-shit condom before the podcast.
Yeah.
So are we talking like casual conversation or dirty talk?
Say you're in the act and it's like,
your so inner
oh, I like what you did there with your...
nice job with the...
good job with your lady part.
But, like, what do you call it?
Every, that's the default term.
Every girl I've ever known has hated that.
Just once you're in them, it doesn't matter if they hate it or not.
Yeah, exactly.
It's over. Yeah. They have won.
Plant your flag.
Once you're in them, it doesn't matter if they like
you
it.
You can say anything you want.
Yeah.
I hate you.
Oh, Mr. Off.
I think
then it's like riding a Bronco.
Hang on. Here we go. Woohoo!
It's just like anything else. It's a process of figuring out what she is comfortable with calling it.
What works and what doesn't.
Yeah. So you have to wait for her to reference it before.
No, no. You don't have to wait for her to reference it. You don't.
Gus almost just lost it.
I almost quit my beard.
Oh, man.
How would you do that? Would you wait for her to reference it?
I don't know. I just, like, just keep throwing stuff
you
at
just, you would try to
So I forget what this is.
Yeah, what? I'm throwing this at your what again?
But how often...
What would you call it?
What's your default?
Clunge. I feel like with a girl...
that is not your default. You have never said that.
Clunge.
What's your default? I owned up to it immediately. What's yours?
I have no idea. That's why I'm asking.
You've
I have no idea what to call it.
You've had to have said
I don't.
It
I avoid the subject like the plague. I'll be like, that was great, you know?
Wow.
That's the hottest dirty talk ever.
What's your default term for your genitalia?
Knob.
That you want her to
really?
Knob?
Really? That's the sexy thing? Like
John cock. Thomas?
Yeah, I'm on your knob.
Like cock or knob or something.
Knob. She's like, oh, I love your knob.
Yeah.
When I picture a knob, I picture something like this big. You know, yeah. Like barely sticks out. Like, it's like the knob on the radio. What a satisfying knob.
But anyway.
Picture somebody giving Gavin a handjob like this.
I can't get good reception.
Anyway, my point is, with a girl, I feel like you should compliment the girl, like, tell them they look good and all that. Maybe you can get detail about some things. I will never describe that in any way. Like,
oh, you absolutely should.
Yeah, so you would say to a girl, lovely minge, or whatever.
Absolutely.
What would you
absolutely.
Say?
I would even make a hand gesture like that.
That minge is banging.
Lovely minge. Just a gesture. So the best part is when you say enough times, you don't have to say anymore. You just go. Yeah. No, absolutely.
So you would call a bijoux.
No questions. No okay. questions.
So asked. What would you call it?
I would use pussy. That's what I would use, yeah. And then I would find out.
Same thing, pussy.
That,
you make it a nose? You said clutch.
Yeah.
How are you just like,
oh, God.
I said clunge, not clutch.
But then you figure out, like, I mean, a lot of people say, I hate that word.
Yeah.
And
like, I just say vagina. Guy, that's like, you know.
So you say, smashing
doctor.
Vagina.
It's anatomically correct.
That vagina is extraordinary.
I
don't say so.
I just feel like
when you wear a bow tie,
it
sounds
great. I love you sabotage yourself. Now, if you sleep with anybody who's ever listened to this podcast, they are going to think that you want to hear knob in the bedroom. They're going to want to hear that. Knob.
You're waiting for her to say, I want your knob in my whatever you want to call it.
Put your knob in my clunge.
I just feel like...
Sounds like something you do to, like,
I feel like hot water in a car.
That sounds like you're trying to fix a toilet.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I gotta do this knob in the clutch. It's stuck up right now.
Yeah, it sounds like you're solving a puzzle in Skyrim.
What's a Samuel Flange?
I just feel like everything else is very easy to talk about except that thing. So I just...
I hear people laughing in the office, like various offices around here. I hear, like, nondescript laughter.
Oh, I just got a text from Barbara, all caps, pussy.
There you go.
Oh, my God.
Thanks, Barbara. Question answered.
I've learned a lot. I hope you have, too, at home.
Yeah, that should be your default, you know?
Yeah, that's your go-to.
Yeah. Never, ever the C word. I mean, well, you build up to it over time.
If she says it, it's like, okay, then all bets are off. It's kind of like you gotta figure it out, and then be like, okay, I'm like, that's what you're cool with. So let's roll with that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So,
just gotta roll with it.
That's his advice. Roll with it. All right.
Roll with it.
Good podcast.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, I don't think
thanks to the crew for going nuts and getting us all set up for this thing after our power went out. I can't believe that you guys got this thing set up in like 20 minutes.
Yeah, we went from sitting on a couch in a dark room broadcasting
in
half an hour.
What's funny to me is We spend hours setting up the studio. I mean, that's a process that starts like
at 2
or...
It's a fucking studio.
It sets, we start like at 2 or 3 p.m. We had just stripped everything down and rerun everything. We spent hours getting everything just right again. And fucking 30 minutes before we go live, the goddamn power for the building goes out.
Yep. So now you've had to rip it all up in the dark. So yeah. It's trashed, probably.
Yeah, we had like flashlights and we're tripping over shit. Yeah.
Cats running everywhere. By the way, I'd like to point out this I've never seen. A leather collar.
Yeah.
I've never seen that. That is genius. Yeah.
It's very nice.
I like that.
How the fuck do you afford all your clothes? I'm curious about that.
You go to cheap places.
Is that what you do?
Yeah.
You guys go like thrift shopping?
Places.
No.
You go thrift shopping and that kind of thing?
Yeah. That or like H&M or says cheap shit.
Man, there's an H&M in Vegas. Do you remember in Caesars, the F.A.O. Schwartz that had the huge horse?
Is that gone?
Gone.
What?
And I want to know, where the fuck is that huge wooden horse that they had? Because it's somewhere.
It's on Storage Wars.
Yeah. Well, now that's a huge, like, three-story H&M that's, like, unbelievable.
We should go to Vegas. Let's go to Vegas as a company.
Everyone. I was there for 6 days for New Year's. Then I went back for the awards. I'm Vegas out, man.
I got a Facebook invite from a friend of mine last night who was having a wedding in Vegas in May.
And
like, I was so excited last night. I booked my airfare, booked my hotel.
Oh, you got it.
I'm going back to Vegas in May.
It's like winning something on eBay and paying for it immediately.
I was like, you better not back out of that wedding because I fucking bought my shit.
No, I did too. You're talking about, it's Becca, right? Yeah, Becca's
set
of dates.
You tickets as well.
Yeah, I would absolutely. Becca's wedding. I'm all excited about it. Yeah, she plays sister on Red vs. Blue. If you haven't heard of Becca before,
dude, I want to go to Vegas so bad. I've been to Vegas in well over a year and a half now. I might be going in February, like maybe for the Super Bowl. I don't know.
I thought about possibly joining you guys for your Super Bowl trip, but
be fun.
I think I'm going to wait now.
I might be going to Alan, our biz dev guy.
Guys, crazy because Becca was like a little sister to all of us. You know, now
she's
like,
why you called her sister?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's why Caster is that part. And of course, we just liked getting her in the booth and trying to make her say the filthiest stuff and see what she wouldn't say.
Stuff.
She would say anything. It was awesome.
I feel like these days,
like clunge.
I feel like
nominator clunge.
Like Kara's like my little sister.
Yeah.
Like a couple weeks ago, Jordan and I were at the annex. We were building the Lego Ford unto Dawn. It's like a little boy kind of thing. Or I'm sorry, the Mega Block Ford unto Dawn.
Right.
So you know, it's like we're sitting there, we're putting together this giant model, and then Kara like literally comes running in like a little sister. Like, what are you guys doing?
I'm like, no,
careful. I was like, we had everything laid out. It's
back
like
away.
Thousands of parts, right? I'm like, back off. I was like, everything is laid out very specifically. She's like, guys, I'm not going to ruin it. And then she picks up a box, and then like all these bags of Mega Blocks just start falling out onto the floor. And I was like, what the fuck did I say? And then she just drops it and then starts laughing and then runs around and then runs away. And I was like, this is like living at home with my little sister all over again.
Yeah, mom.
I was like, get out of my room.
Anytime Kara does anything, even something helpful for Gus, he just chastises her constantly. It doesn't matter.
Whatever happened with that Ford and Thon thing?
We're still working on it.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
It's immense.
I think it's finished by now.
Longest time lapse in the world.
Nice.
How many pieces is it?
I don't know. We're about a little over a third of the way through.
Wow, that Lego.
I'll be out with it. I didn't realize you were still working.
We work on it every now and then.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Bullshit.
So we'll let you know.
All right, so Vegas. Let's go to Vegas.
All right, where are we going to dinner? Last night, Gavin and I tried to go out to dinner.
Yeah.
And we tried to go to that new ramen place up north. And
Tatsuya Ramen? That place is awesome.
It's fucking closed on Monday.
Yeah, I knew that.
Let's do ramen.
It's closed Sunday and Monday.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Now you know.
Well, now don't try to go. Don't act like an asshole to me. Don't go on Sunday either. I'm helping you.
Let me ask you a question. When you went there before, did you have any trouble finding the place?
No, absolutely not.
What the fuck? Gavin and I drove around that parking lot for like 20 minutes.
Well, it's you guys.
Like, I knew to be exactly fair, where it was. Like, I've been to that.
I was navigating, so we're never
going to. Oh, God. Why would you let Gavin navigate?
Because I'm driving. What else am I going to do?
If you want it,
you stick your head out the window.
You have to show up early. Like, you have to eat an early dinner. Otherwise, the line goes out the door.
Well, that's what we did. We should have a day early.
I mean, like, goes down. Like, you can wait in line 2 hours.
You can wait in line 2 hours?
You
think he's waiting in line 2 hours for anything?
So you have to show up early.
All right. Well, not
so
many.
If you show up like right after they open, like I think they open at 5. So if you show up like at 5:30, you're probably okay.
So it's like the Franklin of
ramen. Ramen. Yeah.
Barbara tried to join us. We completely fucked over Barb. Like we went north. So we're in South Central Austin.
Yeah.
We go up to Northwest Austin. We invited to go with us. Then Gavin and I drive around trying to find the place. We see it's closed. We're like, oh fuck this. So we drove away. And then we thought, oh, Barb's there. So Barb has arrived later than us because we called her back. She goes to ramen. And she's like, where the fuck is this? She goes, where are you guys? We're like, oh, we went to Papa Do's. Try to get this motherfucker to spell Papa Do's over text. Can't do it. So then we're already sitting down at the new restaurant. She's on her way there, and I go, just send her a pin. Send her your pin from your current location.
And I thought, why would I send her my pin number?
And what are you talking about? I go, here, I'll do it. And I was in the wrong location. Like, I just grabbed wherever we were. So she turned around and went,
oh, my God. He's bragging about it. So I was like, oh, you don't know about pins? And she pisses off in the wrong direction. She comes in, like, storming, like...
She gave him time for dessert, basically.
Oh, man. Yeah. That's fucking brutal.
She had Dan's third dinner, so it was okay, though.
We're still trying to eat off all the food Dan ordered when he was
gone. Oh, God. All right,
Brandon did something similar to somebody who works here, but it might be a story for another time.
Who was it?
What'd you do?
Kyle. Yeah.
He has the mic. You tell the story.
Brandon, Friday, made plans. He was like, everyone, we're going to this bar tonight, 8 p.m. Just be there. And nobody, like, left the office. So, like, we were all meeting around at 8, and we were like, oh, what do you want to do? And the barber's like, I don't really want to go all the way, up there. So he's like, let's do something around here. So we go to Trudy's. And Kyle didn't know. Kyle wasn't here. And halfway through our dinner, Brandon gets a text, and he looks at his phone, and he just goes, oh, no!
That was a good Brandon impression.
It's Kyle saying, where are you guys at?
Oh, no.
And then Brandon's just like, maybe I can cover this up.
Running late.
We'll be right there. Like, and he just ended up telling him, and then he was like, I feel so bad. We were near the end, and he was like, maybe we can grab our check and get up there real quick. But
that was a good brand impression. That's exactly the noise he made when the power went out.
Oh no.
God, fucking terrible. All right, well, let's
get some food. And get
show. Before we wrap up, hold on, I got something I gotta show you.
Oh, no.
So, don't forget.
Oh, yeah, look at that. Look at your shirt.
Oh, yeah. Is available in the Rich Tea store.
Those of you who are watching right
very,
now,
very fashionable.
Those shiny cool.
It's our first time with the foil print.
I haven't actually seen the foil.
Those listening
to
it.
Oh, sweet.
We filmed Awu with that shirt. You did not see it?
I didn't do all. I was working.
But you were there in the room when we were
filming. Oh, sorry, I couldn't see through the back of a shirt you were holding up.
Oh, shit.
Well.
All right, so check it out. It's the
T-shirt Tuesday.
It's the next in the fine line of Gus themed T-shirts.
you have more shirts with your face on than probably anyone else in the company, right?
They know we know what works. We know what's popular. We know what the ladies like.
There was one shirt when we first did animated adventure shirts. There was one that I pitched that was just your six flab on the lower part. I was so disappointed.
No, it was like a tuxedo T-shirt, right? But
The six you flab. Put on it's just six flab on your.
I think we gotta rethink that one. That's pretty genius.
Yeah.
All right, well, thanks for watching our improvised podcast, everyone,
hey,
or
cheers.
Listening, as the case may be. And we'll be back next week in the studio if we get power back by then.
Ciao.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.